FDR was rich. So Teddy Roosevelt was rich. So just like Elliot Spitzer, he was the only guy putting these guys in jail from Wall Street. Mm-hmm. And the reason why Elliot Spitzer did is because he didn't need these fucking guys because he was already rich. And he went to high school with those guys. He goes, you know what? Those guys were fucking cheaters in high school and they're cheaters now. And I got no problem putting them in jail. Well, Barack Obama grows up his whole life making white guys comfortable with him. His whole thing is to get the rich and powerful people to not feel threatened. And to I'm a compromiser. I'll do whatever you need. To like me. You don't get to be the head of the Harvard National Law Review, the editor of the National Harvard Law Review, by pissing Whitey off.
Yeah.
You don't get to be the first black editor of the of that by pissing Whitey off.
Yeah,
you get there.
Is it worth it to get this credit on my resume
right.
over having to shut up a few times when I want to say something?
And it's much more than that, I think. And it's just his whole philosophy. It's the way the gears work in Barack Obama's head. And it whereas Elliot Spitzer, FDR, Teddy Roosevelt, they know these fucking guys. They know they're scammers. They don't need them, and they stand up to them. So yep. I thought Elliot Spitzer was going to be the guy to straighten everything out.
Yeah.
And guess how they got him?
They
used the fucking Patriot Act to go after him fucking a hooker. That's how they fucking got him.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank. I'm Ari Shaffir. I'm here with my friend Matt Edgar, who's going to help me introduce this podcast. He was on the Klepto episode.
Mm-hmm.
What number was that?
I have no idea.
Just like me. No idea.
Actually, it was a cool number. I remember, like, whoa, I get that
110,
number.
110? Something like that?
It was something like, yeah. 112, maybe?
112,
like the R&B group. I don't know.
There's an R&B group. Oh my God, Criss Cross is trending in iTunes.
Yeah, you know why, right?
Yeah, because the guy died.
Yeah. Of course, it's
110.
Hell yeah. Yes.
So we're up to 113 now. This will be 113. But 110 was all about stealing, and then after, I don't know what. Usually, I don't put them up right away. We recorded that on Sunday.
Yeah.
Right? And then I put it up that night.
Literally that night.
Yeah, I was like, you know what? It's a goofy one. It's not really serious.
Yeah.
It was coming after something serious, maybe my dad's Holocaust story. So right. I was like, you know, after those serious ones, I like to put a little jokey. So I was like, you know, this fits, and I put it right in. And then the next morning you called me.
Can I always be after a Holocaust episode?
Yeah.
Can I be the guy that has to follow the Holocaust?
Who followed the other Holocaust one?
I just want to be that guy from now on.
Okay, maybe you were the one.
Oh, that I would...
Let's see who was.
I'd be very proud of myself.
Couple. I interviewed this couple. It was a long time ago. Who met in a concentration camp, and they've been together for fucking 60 years.
Wow.
Artsy Fartsy was after that. It was Ashley Maycomber. Oh, that's a long time ago. Number 46, 45 was a Holocaust couple. Anyway. So you called me the next day and you were like, I forgot all
this.
Dude,
I literally, right when I woke up the next morning, the first thing that hit me was all these other great things I've stolen in my, and I don't know why they didn't come up.
The message was just like, oh, I can't believe I forgot this.
It was literally, I woke up and I grabbed my phone and started texting you. I was hoping that you didn't post the thing already.
No, it was already posted.
It was already
up the night before. But you're like, oh, I stole a boat.
I stole
a boat?
Yes.
How do you forget that?
I can't believe I forgot that. I stole two boats.
Okay, what's the story of stealing boats? How'd you steal a boat? And how, when we're talking about stealing stuff, do you miss a
boat?
Because
you know what? I was more hung up on shoplifting, I think.
Oh, right.
I was like in that realm of stealing things.
Liberating materials.
When it came to like...
Larceny.
Literal felony shit. Yeah. That's a different podcast.
I got arrested for one. Nothing. You're like, oh, that's too far.
You even gave me a chance when we were pulling into your place. Like, so is there anything else that you've stolen? Yeah, that's about it. Totally forgot about the boats and the golf carts from the Long Beach Arena.
Oh yeah,
so now, and golf carts from Leisure World, the old people home in Seal Beach.
There's a Leisure World here too. There's a Leisure World in Maryland.
Really?
Yeah, that's where they.
It's a chain.
Yeah, that's where the Holocaust couple that I interviewed.
No
that's
shit.
That's where they lived, in Leisure World, in Maryland.
Wow.
Gaithersburg.
Wow. That's so much better than living at a Holocaust camp.
Considerably better.
If from camp to Leisure World.
Golf carts, greens fees paid for.
The showers just have water that come out.
Almost all water.
Just
a little
water.
Bit of soot.
Yeah.
But mostly water.
A little bit of soot.
Yeah. But just from the pipes that are old, but that's it. So what's the, how'd you steal a boat? What was that? Or let's do a golf
cart. I stole,
cart first.
What do you want, golf cart or boat?
Well, hold on. Before we do that, what should I do for this episode?
Well, who you...
I don't know. I usually choose before I start the intro.
Let's choose it right now.
Okay. Well, who we had the last one. The last one was, let's see how jokey. It was Tom Rhodes, who just talks about living out of a suitcase. He doesn't have a home anymore.
What?
He goes from spot to spot on the road. He just goes from spot to spot to spot.
Tom Rhodes.
Tom Rhodes.
He does. Wow.
Maron asked him. Mark Maron asked him. He's like, so where are you living now? And he goes, in these shoes.
That is such a cool answer.
He's so cool, that guy.
That is a great answer. I can't believe he's doing that. Like, he is like a grown-up.
He's a grown-up, and he's like, I'm going to go across the world. I'm going to... I think once you make a decision, like, I don't have a home, you get over it.
Yeah.
You get over not having anywhere to go home to.
Oh, yeah. It's the fear of losing your home that is so stressful. After you have... After
he
it's
has
gone.
Friends he sees at festivals. He does a lot of comedy festivals.
Yeah. The guy's a big comic.
He's a hilarious comic, too.
Wow, dude, that makes me love him so much more.
Yeah. His special, by the way, is on chill.com also. He made it on his own and put it up there. So if you want, you can get my special and his special and Maria Bamford's special.
Whoa.
And Doug Benson's, what's that? Not geography. That's the wrong word completely.
Discography?
No. What's the word when you make a movie, but it's all true stuff?
Oh, documentary.
Yeah, that's the word. That's the word. Come on, brain.
Ari.
I've been smoking that pot that has mold in it. It's really ruined it for me.
You know, Tom Rhodes told me a really funny story one time.
What?
That, like, when he first did comedy, when he first came to L.A.
Yeah.
He came to, I don't know how he got in cahoots with Louis Anderson.
Yeah.
I think it had something to do with, like, a contest, or he met him in, I don't know, but... Somehow he was Louis Anderson's guy.
Yeah.
And he showed up to the Comedy Store. It was the first time he'd ever been there. And he was known as Louis's guy, you know, because that's how Louis introduced. And he didn't know Louis was gay or anything like that.
Yeah.
And
he's not just gay. He's like, loves young. Well, I shouldn't make fun. I was about to say he loves young dudes. But then I realized I love young girls. So
yeah,
really,
we all love. I mean,
he's just in the guys.
Yeah. Like, we all, different strokes. We all love young, you know.
Yeah.
But anyways, he was Louis's guy.
Tom Rhodes.
Tom Rhodes is Louis's guy, and he didn't understand why everyone didn't respect him.
Because he's like, come on, man, Louis Anderson. Like,
I'm here with Louis Anderson.
Yeah. Well, okay, so here are the choice. That's hilarious. He said he tried to bone him, Louis.
Whoa.
Louis, like, cornered him, and he finally was like, after like days of Louis hanging out and he taking him around.
He cornered him?
Yeah, it was like at his apartment or something. And,
oh my God.
And eventually he was like, so hey. And
oh.
Like, oh no, I'm not into this at all. And Louis was like, what?
Oh
what
no.
What the fuck you think I'm doing with you for the last 2 days?
Yeah.
Pretty much, I think he didn't say it like that, but he's sort of like, ugh, well, leave, please. And just left. And just like turned and walked away from him in his house. And then Tom later was like, oh yeah.
Yeah, welcome to Hollywood.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so here are my options. I can do Jimmy Dore on just politics. That might not be a bad one. That might not be bad, because it's sort of too serious, but it's also sort of funny. Yeah, let's do Jimmy Dore.
Jimmy Dore.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I'll
have... this episode.
And then I have... Here's what I have. Two serious ones. A fucking miscarriage girl.
Ooh.
Caparulo on poker, which I got to split up into two, because it's way too long. A fucking serious heroin addict. Somebody about mushrooms. Let's talk about Shroom Fest real quick.
Ooh, yeah. By the way, I'm going to stop you right there, where we were just talking about before you turned this thing on.
So, Brian, yeah.
What else do you need to sell?
Oh, my t-shirts.
Your fucking awesome t-shirts.
I haven't done them.
That you're not talking about.
I'm not talking about them.
And if people knew how dope they were. First of all, what I love about, I mean, I've never seen, like, I love when bands come out with new t-shirts and shit like that. And, like, and you know, comedians having their merch. I've never seen anything like this, where it's just all these they're pictures of things that describe you.
Yeah, what do you got?
This t-shirt is so you. Well, you got
basketball, because I used to play basketball, a microphone.
Glasses.
Glasses is a gummy bear, so I love eating those.
Some mushrooms.
I love eating those, too.
Money, because you're Jewy.
There's a beard.
There's a beard. Here's a big Jew nose.
That's my this pipe is from my This Is Not Happening Storyteller show. That's the logo for that.
Oh, what is this one?
This is a t-shirt, because I love wearing t-shirts.
I feel like there was like a gap
something
here.
More there, yeah.
And it was... He likes t-shirts.
This is, you know what this is?
What?
It's a car with lines coming out. It's Bobby Lee's car.
Oh, is that what? Does that have shit all over it? Is that what
yeah,
that is?
Yeah, yeah.
That's cool.
If anyone's heard my special, you'll know what that is.
Yeah, I think like a real Ari Shaffir
Hot
fan would dig this shirt.
He said he put a scarf on there. I was like, what was the scarf about? And he was like, I thought I heard you say you like choking girls. I was like, oh, yeah, I do.
So scarf.
That's what it is. Yeah, scarf. Choke them that way. It's a way to say it. Lollipop.
Pot, and I love how you know it. It looks like a regular lollipop, but just know,
yeah,
it is a pot.
Dreidel, joint, my meniscus.
Water
there.
That spilt over.
You know what that is from?
No,
it's from Natasha's face.
You should have had Natasha's face on here. Actually, yeah. That would have been a great touch.
Yeah,
you'd probably be sold out by now, though.
But it's on a cool. It's on a cool type of yellow, like a dull
yellow.
Yeah,
the colors are cool, and you know what? It almost reminds me of like you know how like on like the Star Wars movie posters.
Yeah,
it shows like. Like, it basically shows, like, different parts of the story.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, in that kind of cool animation. This shirt's like that, because this is all, like, different parts of your stories and stuff that's been on your podcast. It's the ultimate fan shirt, and I don't know why you're not talking about it, and that's why you're not selling any.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
However, the latest thing I did steal from your apartment is a brand new Ari Shaffir shirt.
You took from me?
I took it from you.
Matt Egger lives here while I'm gone because he's poor.
Cool. Who you doing then?
So Jimmy Dore. So let's talk about that. Then we'll do a couple stealing stories, and then we'll do an outro. So Jimmy Dore came. I've recently got more political. Like I talked to you about TSA and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm really starting to see like who are these people that we trust as our leaders?
Right.
I'm starting to like take them as like no, they're just individuals. They're just people.
Well, that's because you're growing up.
Yeah. And I realize
you're like, wait a minute.
I'm
like,
the adult.
I'm a grown up now.
And I'm not equipped.
I can't run this shit.
Yeah. So why would they? Yeah. Why would some untrained guy be good at? Because somebody gave him a plastic badge.
Yeah.
And so Jimmy Dore's always been that. I went to Bridgetown with him. Now. 3 episodes ago to Bridgetown to Portland. And we were checking our bags in Burbank in the same spot. And she was like, let me look through your bag. He was like, why? Why are you looking through my bag? And she was like, well, I have to. And I was like, fucking Jimmy Dore. I was causing a mess.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And then later, it was like he was just like resisting them. And I was like, what is it? Personal freedoms and liberties. And those things, those words just turned me off.
Uh-huh.
People say like personal liberties.
Yeah, yeah.
Civil
when
liberties,
people say society.
Yeah, you're like, all right. Okay. These are just buzzwords that I just tune out. But I started to get more into it. And then I was like, you know what, Jimmy, can you come in and talk about this shit? Because I know you've known more about this for a while. So he did. He sort of helped me break down. And we went over, like, I told him all the problems, how people do tune out. Because I used to be that guy. I was like, shut up already. Mm-hmm. Just take it and be quiet. It's all fine.
That's how I am.
What is it? Just raise your hands at TSA. Just fucking present your passport.
Whatever. Everyone has to go through it.
Yeah. Is it that hard? Like, it's not about that hard.
Yeah, yeah.
It's about you don't get to tell me what to do.
Yes.
The news thing I saw in Austin was they do this in some spots in New York, too. As they check your ticket and ID. You know, right before you go through the scanners and stuff, they say, state your name. And I was like, why? So you have to state your name. I was like, why is that only a rule here and in one other place and not everywhere? What if I don't? And it's not about stating my name. It's not about that. Uh-huh. It's about you don't get to tell me.
Yeah.
You're not the guy who tells me to do anything. If some bum on the street says, hey, say your name, it's like, ugh, you can just walk away from him.
Uh-huh.
That's what they are. Anyway.
They're like bums on the street.
They're like bums on the street that we give fucking legal rights to.
Yeah.
The rights over us. Don't do anything.
Oh, I'm not going to take it.
Yeah, I resist. I started taking pictures. Well, I didn't, but I want to.
What, like?
If a TSA agent, I want to take a picture of his face and his
badge. Oh, my God, really?
Yeah.
You know what? That should be you should, like, do you ever do Instagram or anything like that? That should be your Instagram. Just a bunch of these TSA, like, right in their face.
Yeah.
Like.
Because
like,
you're allowed to record them.
They right, right.
You shut that off.
Yeah.
You're like, no, I don't have to shut it off. And the fact that you're lying about it is a problem.
Yeah, yeah. Like, break their personal bubble.
Yeah. And if they ask me, like, why are you taking a picture? This is what my answer is going to be. Because when it all goes down, I want to know whose side was on who.
The fuck. They're probably so weirded out.
Maybe. They should be.
What?
Well, trust me.
Look, I just work here, man.
Look at the French Revolution. You think they'll let guards off? You think they'll like, oh, I'm just working for the king? No. You will suffer the same fate as they all will. I'm getting too serious.
Yeah, it's like. Well, okay, but can you just empty your pockets and put your keys in
the chest? I'm really just working. It's both ways. Anyway, so we talked about that. So now let's get back to stealing. Jimmy Dore is a hilarious comic. Have you ever seen him?
I have not. I don't know who that is.
He's really
funny. But I will look him up.
He's really, really funny. And I should say this before we start the podcast. We were doing this. It's already 13 minutes. Fuck. Well, I'm not doing ads, so it's okay. He had a joke that I didn't know. That I took by accident in front of him. We're doing Joke Machine, where it's like three people going against each other, fucking with each other. Early version of the roast, about 10, 12 years ago. Topic, you have to come up with something quick. You have one or two topics you can prepare at home, and then you can fuck with each other. Crowd laughs. Moderator decides who gets a point. It's all for fun. Doesn't matter who wins. The only joke I got was that Sharon Houston was there and some other girls on the other side of me, and I couldn't get a laugh. I remember it was at Comedy Underground on 3rd Street. And I was like, of course I'm not getting a laugh with Lilith Fair in the audience. And then I got a laugh off that.
Oh, nice.
But I did this joke, and I didn't realize until somebody told me, you know, this Jimmy Dore's joke. And I was like, what? Oh, my God. Oh, it was about how, and it was just gotten in my head.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know where it came from, and I thought I wrote it.
Yeah.
The only time I did it was there, but it was about how, it was something like, you know, I was having sex with a girl in her vagina for a change. And man, it's. Really feels like it was made for that.
That was his joke, though.
Yeah, and he was standing right behind me. I had no idea where it came from. He didn't say a word.
Well, that's cool.
Somebody else mentioned it later. I was like, ooh, that's really so cool. Gross. People don't want conflict.
Talk about stealing shit.
But shit. Yeah, exactly. Talk about stealing shit. This is perfect. Oh, wait. No,
that would be a good podcast, actually. Like, just talk about different times you've stolen other comics' shit.
It's only twice. I've done it. Quick, people done it like as you're riffing, and you stop immediately and go, oh, wait.
Me
I have no idea who that is.
You me just and Gerard were talking about that. I mean, how many times are you up there and you go, yes?
Yeah.
Or, like, the positive energy.
Yeah. And then you just got to be like, guys, that's not my joke. I don't know whose joke it is, but it's not mine.
Sometimes it's just like, you know, the circumstance of whatever you built in the in the crowd, and it just like it leads right into someone else's thing, and you know their thing. I don't think I've ever really done. I know I've cut myself off.
Yeah,
from
as you're like,
saying some shit.
It's like two sentences, five sentences in. You're like, oh wait, ooh, oh fuck,
yeah.
Oh, that's not. I know where this came from now.
Yeah.
Or I have an idea. I saw Paul F. Tompkins do this on a live podcast once in San Francisco. He did Jamie Kilstein's podcast with Maria Bamford, and they both were themselves and alternative characters. Maria Bamford was some girl she made up. Who just loves mainstream comedy. I don't know how she does that. And Paul F. Tompkins' other one was the Ice Cube.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. Which one's on Law & Order? Ice-T. And so he had the lisp, and he was doing whatever. And then he's just crazy, the character of Ice-T. Just a crazy loon.
Yeah.
And then he goes off on this long tangent about how the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles... He's like, you know, it's kind of silly, because he called them his personal heroes. And he's like, when you think about it, it's kind of silly they wear masks. Because what other giant turtles are running around fighting crime? We still know who you are.
Yeah, but you got to separate them.
Yeah.
Before.
Yeah. But they all wear R and L on their backs.
I mean, like, if Michelangelo wore a purple mask, that would just...
It would throw everything off.
Completely.
Do you think they ever did that? They switched on girls?
Oh, maybe.
Hey, dude, come out to the bathroom. Give me your mask.
But you know what?
I'll go in there and bang that chick.
Something I noticed about the Ninja Turtles is their skin's a little bit different.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
Raphael has this lighter shade.
Yeah.
Like, he's more... You know, it's weird because he's like the maniac. He's like the loose cannon out of him, but he's kind of the prettier turtle as far as turtles go.
Yeah.
Donatello is just this dirty sewer. He's a PJ. Michelangelo looks cool. I don't know why we're having this talk right now.
Oh, this is what he said, though. He goes about the mask thing, and then he's like, in character with the lisp and everything, he's like, why do they wear that different mask? And he goes, I literally could not have been the first one to think of that. Those things came out 25 years ago. There is literally no way that no one has taken that angle before. He goes, so to whoever thought of it first, I am sorry.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, it was just like, he clearly knew. There's no way he's coming up with a new fucking Ninja Turtles joke.
A new Ninja Turtles joke.
Well, let's do the two stories at the end of this podcast. How about that? Because we're already at 17 minutes.
Yeah.
Should we do that?
Yeah, whatever you want,
stealing the boat? Because we did some stuff. Let me say some dates real quick. I got three. May 9th with Joey Diaz in Phoenix.
Lame.
Stand Up Live. The two of us are co-headlining. He'll probably go on last because he's so...
He's yeah, so try funny. Following Diaz.
Yeah. Sam Tripoli's Naughty Show in New York City.
Whoa. The Big Apple.
The Big Apple on the 14th. May 14th.
Who's on it? Do you know?
Some porn stars. Me. I don't know.
You don't know the other comedians?
Yeah. I'm in Columbus, Ohio with Big J and Florentine for Rockin' the Range.
That's fucking awesome. Music I love Festival. Big J.
Yeah, and then the next real gigs are, I have this run in Ontario and Winnipeg. Comedy Bar, Comedy Underground, my favorite room is the Clandestiny, the Comedy Underground, and then I have a show in London, Ontario, and a show in Hamilton, Ontario, and then straight to Winnipeg to Rumors, the 6th, 7th, and 8th. And that's it. Let's start the episode. How about that?
Hell yeah.
Oh, and I think now I'm going to Just for Laughs, Chicago, where I'm doing three storyteller shows.
That is awesome. Who's on them?
I don't know yet. I was like, it's too much stress, man. It's too much stress to try to find people and do these midnight shows. And it's hard to find people who have the story. And they're like, what if we do all the booking for you? I'm like, I'd have to say okay on everybody.
Yeah.
I said, okay. So I was like, all right. So I think I'm leaning towards doing it.
Well, I don't see why you wouldn't.
It's because it's a lot of weeks in a row, and I want a week off. And then the week after that is Shroomfest.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we got to talk about that for a second. That's my vacation.
Yeah.
So I'm coming back here for Shroomfest.
Yes. Ari, you're making the right choice.
I'm probably coming back on Saturday, and then we'll figure out Sunday or Monday what we'll do.
Okay.
But probably what we did two years ago, yes. But I didn't do on that Monday. And then right after that, I go to Alaska with Rogan. I don't know what we're doing or where. I'm not promoting it. But so I think I'll just leave from L.A. and then go back from Alaska back to New York.
Wow, and this is post Shroomfest.
It's all my June. Yeah, so Shroomfest is June 22nd, 23rd, and 24th.
Okay,
cool. Explain to them what Shroomfest is.
Well, it's only the greatest festival that happens in this part of the universe.
This part of the universe, yeah.
Basically, Ari Shaffir's a genius, and he decided to throw a...
The mushrooms are the
literally,
genius.
You invented a holiday.
Yes.
And it's where... You know, you get together with the coolest, safest group of friends that you guys have and find some place. I mean, I guess you could do it anyway, as long as you're doing mushrooms.
Yeah, some people do it
alone.
Is
the point.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, like it's the way me and Ari roll with everyone else is that we just kind of, you know, keep a intimate crew,
yeah.
You know, not too big.
Uh-huh.
There's a good group of dudes,
yeah.
A few girls or whatever. Like, it's just fun. And then we just go out into nature somewhere. And this year we're going to the desert.
Yeah.
Joshua Tree, right?
Yeah.
Or something so. Joshua Tree adjacent.
Yeah.
Like
now, your clause was because when I first planned it, it was this. It was, we'll get to Jimmy Dore very soon. I know it's going long. But when we first planned it.
Jimmy's
it was,
outside waiting right now.
It was, I was like, hey, let's go to Benji's place that he has on the beach in Malibu.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do some acid. Or let's do some mushrooms.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I said. Let's do some mushrooms.
Yeah.
We just get a few people. It's great. It's got
Acid Fest is a whole
private
thing.
Yeah, but a private thing. And somebody said, what if somebody wants to do acid? I was like, yeah, they can do it too. And then somebody else was like, I think I mentioned it. Somebody's like, can't someone else come who's not involved with you guys? And I was like, let's just do it on a Monday where everyone will be at work.
Yeah.
We'll be away from all the white people.
Mm-hmm.
So we won't bother anybody.
That's another, you can't have any white people there.
Yeah.
And by white people...
This rich is what, winners.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's Joey Diaz's... Yeah.
Fucking white people.
White people. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not
lame.
Just white.
They're lame. They get uptight about shit like that. They don't like drugs around them.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It really can also ruin. Be black people. Obama's like a white person.
Yeah. I mean, it really could Michelle be anyone. Obama. It's like a certain type of person. It's really not a color.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's usually white people.
I like calling them white people.
It's like black music. Eminem plays it.
Yeah.
But it's still black music.
We know what it is.
And so I was like, all right, let's do it on a Monday so that comedians can participate.
Yeah.
So because people get off the road on Sunday. So
yeah.
By Monday, they should be home.
Sure.
And you don't have to go anywhere else because I want comics to be able to do it, too.
Yeah.
Because somebody's like, let's all do it everywhere we are. It's like, sure. And then somebody's like, why can't we do it, too? And I was like, you know what? Yeah. And somebody's like, why have something on Monday? So we made it 3 days, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday.
Yeah.
And then somebody said, like, I was planning it in May. And these kids are like, oh, I want to do it, but I still have classes. These like high school or college kids. I was like, oh, well, that's not. Fair.
Yeah, it's not.
Let's make it summertime then.
That's right.
Later. And so now it's every summer, and your clause was do it on the weekend of the summer that has the most amount of moonlight.
Yes.
So this year, that is June 22nd, 23rd, and 24th.
Perfect.
People all over the world. Did I get it right?
I'm flattered that you...
The Matt Edgar clause.
You took the Matt Edgar and actually...
I'm open to suggestions.
And actually did the research and you found the dates. That,
uh-huh.
So the 22nd through the 26th.
24th.
I'm sorry, 24th. And you know what's cool?
24th. Yeah.
What's cool is, I mean, you really could do them anywhere. Just about
anywhere. People
doing
did it on a glacier 2 years ago.
Right.
Some people did it in Israel and Australia, Ireland, Canada, Mexico.
I like the moon thing just because it you know, gives you an you could be outside at night, which is really fun.
Well, we had last year, went to Malibu Creek State Park.
Yeah.
We had that moon right behind that craggly tree.
Oh, that was
with
awesome.
The owl in it.
Oh, the owl just showed up.
Oh, and it was right in front of the moon. It was so badass.
Yeah. And this, anyone could experience this.
And it was enough light so you could walk around and stuff in the woods.
Yeah, and
it
the
was
way,
well enough lit.
The main thing is the way the light bounces off the whatever the terrain is, trees, field, desert.
Yeah.
It just, you are out there and you're in the middle of nowhere. And then eventually the moon goes down and the stars come out. And that's awesome too.
Yeah.
And then the sun
starts to come
up. People could do, I mean, during the day is also
great. Oh, yeah,
great,
absolutely.
Like,
absolutely.
That's just one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But as
I
long as everyone's doing them on those days, the cool thing is, it's like when you're on mushrooms, you feel so connected with everything else.
Yeah.
And what's cool about Shroom Fest is there are literally people around the world also doing this.
Thousands of people.
While you're tripping on mushrooms and feeling close to everything else, there's people
trip.
On the other side of the planet that are doing the same exact thing
for the same reason
as you for the same reason. And it's just that kind of I don't know, it's that you really get that feeling of
people have asked me to. I've gone on radio stations and promoted it, and they're like, what do you get out of this? I mean, are you selling t-shirts about it or anything? I'm like, no, Shroomfest is not about
people,
making money,
man. It's for the people. People,
it's for the people.
You're the people's champ.
The message is the mushrooms.
Yes,
that's all it is.
Yes.
And mushrooms. Then what you get? You'll get mushrooms is what you'll get.
Yeah, you'll get a good fucking time.
Somebody on Twitter wrote to me, he's like, hey, my birthday falls on Shroom Fest this year. Is there anything you can do for me? And I was like, how about I started an international mushroom festival that falls on your birthday? That's not enough.
How about your birthday would have just been in June?
Yeah, it would have been 26.
Yeah.
Now it's something special. You have a thing to do now.
That's awesome.
Yeah, people come to my shows on Shroom Fest too. I'll gacked out on shrooms.
Oh.
It's pretty fun. But yeah, so I'm going to fly back here and we're going to do them. Maybe I'll have a show in New York on Friday night at midnight or something at the Stamp. Maybe I'll ask
that. Ooh,
that
would be cool.
Let people shroom out in fucking Manhattan.
Yeah.
Or on Saturday, then fly back here on Monday.
You're going to start a revolution.
Revolution.
Just everyone doing shrooms.
What should I name this podcast with Jimmy Dore?
Let's see.
Because
about politics.
It's all about politics and like leftist. Or I think it's left. I forget which side is which. What's left and what's right?
What's his name?
Oh, it's Jimmy Dore, but left.
Dore?
Yeah, D-O-R-E. And that's an Irish name, I think.
Okay, so maybe something like...
Something with lefty? Lefty? Lefty Politico? No. Should I pause this for a second?
I think I'm trying to think of play on words with the word door.
Door, oh, okay.
Like the doors of... I don't know.
I don't usually do.
If it's political,
yeah.
I don't know. What exactly do you
how
guys talk about?
Pinko commie. We just talked about how socialism isn't bad, and how everyone having health care actually lowers health care costs for everyone.
Yeah.
He's like has done the research, and he's like it's only insurance companies that have paid for enough campaigns for politicians that they don't want people having this other type of health care. They don't want. Government-funded healthcare. I don't really understand.
Opening the doors of socialism. I don't know.
That's too much.
It's something. You got to use the word door.
Yeah. Lefty, McDoor, door.
Or maybe not.
Door to the left. Left door. I don't know.
Hold something. On. Either way, it's going to be awesome because it's Skeptic Tank, and Skeptic Tank is awesome.
All right. Thanks, Matt. Here we go. Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, episode 113. Lefty Liberty with Mr. Jimmy Dore. Enjoy.
Nailed it.
We'll be right back.
So he does, and then he doesn't get any spots. So then he calls in again. He's like, hey, you know, I sent in my avails, and my manager said that this is how I was supposed to do it, and I didn't get any spots this week.
Yeah.
So I'm just letting you know, should I do something else? And she says, oh, no, just keep trying. You know, a lot of guys keep trying. They don't get spots for a few months. So he tells me, and I'm like, and so I tell this woman, Lisa, who was big in the business at the time, still is, and I tell her this story, and she calls the woman at the Laugh Factory and says, hey, and tells that story, and she's like, yeah, well, there's a lot of guys. I don't know everybody. And she's like, no, you don't understand. The reason I'm telling you this is because this looks bad for you.
Yeah, you should know
for
some
you.
People.
Yes. And I'm like, yeah, that's...
Yeah, like, I'm not harassing you.
Yeah.
You're making a mistake, and you're going to look like a fool.
Yes.
You're not giving Brian Regan in-town spots.
Yes.
I can give him 12 minutes. So that's not a bad thing for your company.
It's going to be a good thing for your place. Yeah.
That's a problem. They hire, like, Jamie and Mitzi. They hire these other people to come in.
Off the street, you know, out of college, or not even in college, yeah. Whatever. They don't know what they're doing, and there's, you know, there's...
Like, here's how it works. These are our stable of comics. These
yes.
Are, you know, you want to give spots to these few guys, yes. And then the others mix in.
Yes, there's no... you know, you've seen bookers, if you look at the job they had before they were booker, it's usually not something preparing them to do
TGI
that.
TGI Friday's manager, something like that. You're like, how does this exactly prepare you for the comedy industry?
Mm-hmm. So, and now you're going to be booking the tippy top of the comedy, right?
Yeah.
You're going to be a Hollywood club. But, you know, luckily it's worked out for us.
Speaking of not knowing, my friend got a job at the FBI.
No kidding.
Yeah. Used to work the cover booth with me at the store.
That's the Federal Bureau of Investigations.
That is the Federal Bureau of Investigations. Mm. And they asked him how his other job experience had prepared him for this at all. And he said, well, conflict negotiations. There are times when you work in the cover booth and Andrew Dice Clay and another star will come in and they'll both want to go up. And they're both giant babies. And you have to learn how to talk to each of them and explain that only one of them is going to go up first.
That guy's pretty good. He's quick on his feet, that guy. I'd hire him just for that
just
answer.
For that?
Yeah.
Just for way to rethink
things. Wow, you've turned this into a real problem-solving job.
Instead of just like, oh, these fucking idiots. Yeah. These giant stars are babies.
I can't... It's funny that Andrew Dice Clay is still a star.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, that's just momentum from 1989
still
carrying
that,
him.
Yeah.
That's all that is.
Yeah, there's nothing else. Like, David Tell, when he hasn't done a show in long enough, he's like, I gotta get back on TV to get more draw. Dice? Nope. He's dice.
And then he doesn't he like travel and he'll charge like $100 a ticket.
He was for a while. He was doing small clubs, and then just doing $100 instead of like.
Can you imagine that?
You can only have the richest, most annoying people in there in the audience. The worst people that you wouldn't want in your audience. The entitled.
Yeah, they're dumb and assholes.
Yeah. I mean, not everybody with money is a jerk, but a lot of them.
Well, there's certainly as many rich jerks as there are poor jerks, put it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. You saw the bottom, like the level of Titanic, the movie. They were all having the best time.
Oh, that's where the party's happening. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, sure. When I work cruise ships, I always go down in the belly of the
steerage.
Ship with the crew from Indonesia just to hang out and eat food I never heard of.
You work cruise ships?
I did a ton of them. And like, I went through a depression in 1999, and it was the best thing for me. You know, you go on a cruise ship, and I would be on there for a whole week, and I only had to do one show. I had a special deal with Carnival, but they were called Holland America. And so you do one show a week, and it was the late night show, so you could do whatever you wanted. So
material-wise?
It was like, yes.
Oh, that's good.
As long as no one complained, which no one did, because it's the midnight show, and they don't have to go.
And they're expecting.
They want, because they're so milk-toast.
The 32-year-olds.
Yes.
Like, yeah, give me some regular comedy. It's
exactly. And so they've been seeing all this watered-down bullshit all week.
Yeah.
And then finally some real entertainment, like a guy who's talking to them and not doing a show like that could be done in church.
Yeah.
And so I used to get standing ovations, man. They were so in love with that show.
Wow.
I mean, and
it's
then
like going up to a bringer room.
It was easy.
Wow.
It was real easy. And I got And at that time, Holland America put the comedians up first class, right? So I was up there with the officers.
For a week?
So for a whole week, and I got to bring a guest, and I was in the Caribbean, and that was, so you didn't, I didn't have internet on the thing, and I loved it.
Yeah, get away.
You know, it was great. So I could just have to sit there and eat good food and be relaxed, and it was the best thing for me. Honest to God, I loved it. And then Carnival bought Holland America, and they got rid of that. Then they did the same shit. The comedian has to do the clean show and the dirty show and the
hook.
So it was, yeah. And then you back down in the...
It's so lame. It's like, are you just getting people from Minnesota? Is that what you're trying to please?
And I've never seen anybody more worried about what their customers think than cruise ships. I mean, honest, it's unbelievable.
Can't you just bill it as like a regular person show or like a dirty show?
I mean, I haven't done cruise ships since, I'm going to guess 2001, so I don't know how they even do. I hear it's different now. I don't know.
Capanera does cruise ships a lot now.
Yeah?
Yeah. He said he kind of likes them. It'd be nice to be a week away on a cruise ship. That part would be fun, especially if you didn't go up yet, so they don't know who you are.
They don't know who you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just walk around. Yeah, it's nice being anonymous and just enjoying it. And I was the youngest guy on the ship, and so I get to talk to all the
shuffleboard with
all the pretty girls who worked on the ship, you know. So that was nice.
Did you get laid?
Yes.
You did.
Yeah.
Because it's all like
my girlfriend was the social hostess on Holland America for a while. So we got to do all the offshore excursions, and I got all the cool stuff on the ship, and it was great.
Oh, nice.
It was real. I know, that's why when people would
Puerto Vallarta,
people would harangue. Doing cruise ships as like it's the worst thing in the world, and I was like, I got a little secret here. It's one of the best things. The one I had, I wouldn't want to do a normal show on a cruise ship. It seems a little too much like church.
Yeah, a normal cruise ship show.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the problem. I want to go to Israel to do that show, that tour that Avi Lieberman puts on.
Uh huh.
But he's like, there's like three spots where you got to be super clean.
Oh, really?
And I'm like, I'm out, man.
Yeah.
I'm out.
Yeah. I mean, I can do a short set. I can do 15 minutes super clean, but
I could do seven maybe.
You know, but I just did a show at the USC for some Catholic. There was some Catholic thing.
Yeah.
They have a building. The Catholics have a building there. It's brand new. It's really nice. And this guy booked a show there, and he asked me if I could do it and keep it clean, and he offered me money. So I was like, yeah, I can keep it clean for money.
Right.
And so we went down there, and it was, I just had to do like 15 minutes. There was a priest in the front and whatever. I went to
that
Catholic
keep
school.
Your check, I'm sure.
As long as he's laughing, I'm okay.
Oh, right.
So I did a story about having a thing on my balls.
And that was okay?
Yeah, I just said testicle, and that was okay. And so I'll do that stuff. You know, I mean, I'm a lot less rigid as I get older than I was. I was, you know, if 10 years ago you'd ask me, no, I'm not. Yeah. I'm in Hollywood, and this is my show, and these are the jokes I do. Now I'm, you know.
That's how I feel sort of, too. It's like, I don't even want to think in those terms. I mean, those terms are irrelevant to me.
Right, right,
clean,
yes.
And dirt. It's like, I know what offensive is. I know how to get a crowd on my side. I'm not even thinking
about
that. I might have a blowjob joke in there, or I might not.
Right,
I don't even know.
Right. So it's funny to me that we have to put our comedy act through through a filter of
a 1982 filter of what's okay.
And it's going to be accepted or rejected based on the most easily offended person in the audience.
Yeah.
It's like, why? So we can only, nobody gets to have fun because this guy's here who's super offended.
This is the problem with our schools.
Yeah.
You're
yeah.
slowing down classes based on the dumb kids. When you're like, you
that
shouldn't
move. That is a problem. That is a problem. You know, I'll tell you the problem with education in America. You know, people.
What?
You know, the little secret is that American schools aren't failing. If you control for poverty, American students do just as well as the rest of the world.
What do you mean? Explain control for poverty.
So our poverty, you know, we have poverty here like they don't have to deal with in other countries, you know, and failing schools are in failing communities.
Oh, and then you have an average based on them, too.
Yes. So if you take out the poverty from the statistics, American students test pretty okay with the regular. Yeah, they don't tell. That's the thing you don't hear. You know, here's three lies you'll never hear on television. I mean, here's three truths you'll never hear on television from a corporate mainstream news source. You're never going to hear that Social Security doesn't add to the deficit. Not one penny. Never did. Never will.
It doesn't.
Doesn't.
It's from a separate fund.
Doesn't. Separate funds. Totally funded. You paid for it. It's yours. Yeah. And now they're taking it away and they're using it for other government stuff, which is bullshit. Yeah. The other thing they won't tell you is that Medicare saves money. It doesn't cost us money. Medicare saves money. In fact, if you expanded Medicare to include people who are 60, it would save us all more money. It wouldn't cost more money.
Why? Why?
Because Medicare is a more efficient healthcare system than private insurance companies. It actually has lower overhead, and it operates with less paperwork and all that stuff, so they can deliver healthcare for cheaper.
Oh.
And they don't even negotiate for drug prices. You know, there's a law that doesn't allow Medicare to negotiate with drug companies to get their drug prices lower for Medicare. Medicaid does. And if they allowed Medicare to negotiate like Medicaid does, it would save $160 billion over 10 years. Right there.
If they allowed them to negotiate for lower price, like, we'll use your thing, but give us half price.
Yes, you have to give us the price you're giving Canada. Give us the price you're giving this country.
Oh, right.
Give us the price you're giving that. They're not allowed to do that because a lobbyist paid off the drug. They own the guys who make the laws, and they wrote a law that said you can't.
They're doing that because they'll make some other reason up.
That's called crony capitalism, and that's exactly what's happening. So the capitalists buys the government to do his bidding and rig the system in his favor.
So Pfizer drug company will be like, hey. They're going to buy us stuff for less. But how about if we change the laws
so
they cannot negotiate with us and therefore have to pay full price?
That's exactly what they did. And here's another example of that, Ari.
Wow.
So do you remember when there was about 10 or 12 years ago, there was a bunch of senior citizens, there was a big problem where they – not problem, but they were it was a phenomenon. They were crossing the border into Canada to buy their prescription drugs.
Yeah,
you don't hear about them doing that anymore, right?
Yeah.
And the reason is – because the drug companies who bought the legislators passed a law that made that illegal.
Illegal to go up there and get?
To do that. So guess what that means? That means that our government is no longer acting in the interest of its citizens, but it's acting in the interest of its corporation to the detriment of its citizens.
Yeah.
And I ask you, Ari, isn't that what the definition of fascism is? That's what fascism is, when the government and the corporation collude and screw the citizen and the worker.
Here's what I never understood for the longest time until I finally heard it explained. I was like, okay, so let's say this lobbyist gives you, you're a politician, you're a U.S. senator, and I run some company.
Right.
So I'm giving you a bunch of money to your campaign. I can't just give it to you straight. That's like illegal, right? So I'm giving it to your campaign or whatever, $100,000, $1 million, and then you get elected. Now, why would you have to do what I tell you? Is it just because of a feeling of like, hey, thanks for getting me there?
Because you want to get reelected.
That's what I heard.
And they say legislators, senators, congressmen spend 60 to 70% of their time on the phone trying to get money from donors. So there's only a handful of people that they actually need to talk to and make happy.
And they need to get money to get reelected.
Yes.
They cannot get reelected.
And they know when they pick up that phone to call that donor, they're not going to like this policy that helps the little guy over the big guy.
Right.
And that's the problem with our government right now.
That's what they said. They said they can effectively have it pulling their funding for next time for when you want to be reelected.
Yes.
They're effectively firing you.
Yes.
And they have the power to fire you and just get someone else.
Pretty and they'll primary you. they'll fund someone else in your primary and screw you. And that's exactly what's happening. So Dylan Radigan went on a rant about this. He used to host a show on MSNBC, and he went on this kind of a famous tirade about how our American government is bought. And how we're never going to get their legislation. We're never going to re-regulate the banks. We're never going to get an economy that works for the people because of the system we have where the corporations buy the legislators. And he said it very loudly and very, very fiery.
Yeah.
And guess what? They got rid of him. Just they like they fired Phil
because
Don.
MSNBC is also sponsored by corporate advertisers.
And defense. I mean, up until recently, it was owned by NBC. But now I think it's owned by Comcast, right? I think NBC might have let it go. Anyway, NBC was a defense contractor owned by General Electric.
Wow.
I mean, one of the biggest defense contractors in the country.
We're not just a news source.
And General Electric was a bank. So the two biggest stories in the last 5 years you needed was the Iraq war.
Bank collapse.
And banks. And those are the two stories we didn't get. So we got.
Like, we ain't going to cover that.
I'm not going to cover that one because this guy doesn't want me to cover it. They don't tell you
when we were learning about Israeli history or Jewish history, they never taught us about how, I forget who it was, maybe the guy in the coma, made a deal with the Lebanese, what's right above Israel? Is that Lebanon?
I think so.
Yeah, with the Lebanese to help them win some war, and in return, he will hand over all their Palestinian prisoners to the Lebanese who hated them, and they just massacred them.
Really?
Yeah, and it's just one of those things you had to do to get to win this war, but they just never taught us that. It's just not a fun part of the history. And MSNBC would be the same way. Like, anything that's not flattering to us, just not cover it.
Another thing people talk about MSNBC, you know, people think that it's just a mirror image of Fox News, but it's not. It's also owned by a multinational corporation, like we said, that is a bank and a defense contractor, to the point that even before the Iraq war, right? So they had Chris Matthews, they had Phil Donahue, who had the number one show on MSNBC before the Iraq war, and he was a very vocal critic of the war. The old Phil Donahue.
Oh, wow.
He had a show on MSNBC in 2002.
Okay.
It was the number one rated show on MSNBC, and they got rid of him, and we found out why they got rid of him. Why would you cancel your number one rated show?
Yeah.
They canceled him because he was anti-war, and they were pro-war. It was very good for us to have a face pro-war, and he's too vehement. And they said, if you're going to do a show every night, you have to have on two pro-war guys for every anti-war guy.
2-1.
Yeah, so they said 2-1 you have to have on, and he fought against it, and they just canceled him.
Well, and so now everybody else hears that. They say, well, you want to fight? Because the number one guy got fired. So you want to fight?
And Chris Matthews, at that time, I just dug this up. I did it on my web series and my radio show.
What's your web series?
It's the Jimmy Dore Show. It's on TY. You can get it. It's at my website, jimmydorecomedy.com. Yeah, they're all called Jimmy Dore Show because I'm not good at coming up with names.
Good. Right.
You know, I named my CDs and I did a horrible job.
Really?
And I was just like, yeah, I'm done trying to name shit.
Tortures you. Like, what should I name this?
I named my first CD was called It's Not Brain Surgery. That's not bad because it was about a joke. The second one was called Really, which then Saturday Night Live immediately started doing a segment called Really. I'm like, I have a CD named Really. They have one. And then the last one was Citizen Jimmy, which I guess it's okay. It's not. None of them are funny. I like Doug Benson's titles to his, like, Wide Load. That made me laugh when I heard it. Wide Load. It's just funny. Or Humoridian. That made me laugh, too. So I got to get better titles. So it's called The Jimmy Dore Show.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Phil Donahue was interviewing Chris Matthews was interviewing Phil Donahue, and he was like, you know, you're anti-war, but I think you don't like this country, which is exactly what you don't do to someone who's standing up against the war, accuse them of being anti-American and unpatriotic.
That's like saying racist, where it's like, okay, there's no defense against this.
Yes.
There's no, I can't.
You sleep with little kids. What?
Whoa, whoa.
Now we're talking about pedophilia? What? Now
this has nothing to do with it.
You're right.
Yeah, of course I love the country. I could be anti-getting soldiers killed.
Yes.
What are fucking generals who are making good plans? Are they anti-America because they're not having their soldiers die?
Right. I'm with you. But apparently none of those guys who, you know, shit their pants to not have to go to Vietnam War, none of those guys are unpatriotic. Ted Nugent. Ted Nasty. I've been putting my balls on the line.
Now, Can you even really blame corporations for trying this?
No.
Yeah, me neither.
No, that's what the corporations
are. As long as the laws allow me to buy a politician, I will buy a politician.
Corporations are amoral. Their only goal is to maximize profits. Mm-hmm. Their goal isn't, you know, famously.
They're like the Borg.
When was it Chevrolet? Who made the Corvair, right? I think it was Chevrolet made the Corvair. Maybe, yeah. And then Ralph Nader got them. I don't know, made illegal because they were such an unsafe car.
Like no seatbelts.
Unsafe at any speed, I think, was the thing he wrote about. It was called Unsafe at Any Speed.
Yeah.
And so during the hearings in Congress, they said, you know, what is the, you know, isn't the goal of your car company to make a safe car? And the guy said, no, that's not our goal. He says, what is your goal? He says, to maximize profits.
That's true.
And that's their goal.
That is true.
And so that's why you need regulations to make sure these people in their pursuit of maximizing profits at any cost don't fuck over the worker, the citizen, and the environment.
Right. That's why we can't use child
labor.
Because,
right.
Like, it's way cheaper.
Yeah, right.
It's way more effective.
Right.
Kids
right.
Don't know to complain.
But we do import workers to work at sub-standard wages, non-living wages, and sub-minimum wages, right? Farm workers, right? Isn't that what? Oh, we want to get a guest worker program. You mean more like a guest slave program? Because that's really what this is. These are jobs that are so hard and pay so shitty, even unemployed Americans won't do them.
And so we want that so we can keep the price of corn chips down.
Yeah, right? Don't you think that's funny,
Ari? I'm not spending $9 for that.
Don't you think it's funny how people turned on Mexicans as soon as the economy crashed? It was like people loved Mexicans. They're like, they come, they cut my grass for $5. They watch my kid all week for a nickel. I love them. And then as soon as the economy crashed, they're like, these fucking Mexicans coming here, taking our jobs, using our public services. Why don't they go back to their own country and starve? That's what I would do. How could you be angry
at Home Depot?
How could you be angry at people who are just coming here that want the same things you want?
Yeah.
And you just got lucky to be fucking born here. If I wasn't born in America, I would do everything, no legal, illegal, to get here.
You just got lucky.
Yes.
That's why I always hate when alcoholics look down on drug addicts. I'm like, you just got a break. Your shit was legal.
Yes, your shit's legal.
You're not better.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you. It's a funny thing to see how people get angry at, but it happens all the time. It's not a new phenomena. You always look for a scapegoat, and immigrants are the easy scapegoat.
Jews for a while.
Jews for a while. They're still fun. Still fun to pick on Jews.
Jews are, we've maintained that for a long time. We have a very steady course with hatred. Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
So this is what? Leftyism? What is it? What is all this? What is this way of thinking?
My way of thinking, people would label me a progressive.
Okay.
People would label me a liberal. I would just kind of, I try to stay close to the facts. I don't get, mainstream medias, which is where most people get their information, is just riddled with corporate talking points that are untrue. Oh, the three things that you'll never hear.
Okay, yeah.
Right? One is Social Security doesn't add to the debt. Medicare actually saves money. And our schools aren't failing. You're never going to hear that. Failing schools are in failing communities. Charter people go, oh, you can't fire teachers. That it's not the problem that we can't fire. Is it a problem that it's hard to fire teachers?
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a hurdle to get rid of bad teachers. But let's say this. If you fired every bad teacher in the country right now, there would still be failing schools and there would still be successful schools.
Right.
And those failing schools are in failing communities. You know, Beverly Hills High is not a failing school.
Yeah, they're not.
Right.
It's not like those teachers are like coming in drunk and beating kids.
No.
It's not that easy a spot. It's
right.
Just someone who's over their job.
And it's...
They have doctors like that too.
But it's also, they give the youngest teachers the shittiest assignments, mm-hmm. which are the inner city schools.
Yeah.
So they're not master teachers.
Teach for America. You have
and
to,
they... Those are not even teachers,
no.
Teach for America.
Just like you graduated? Come on.
So you're supposed to be... As if teaching isn't a craft and you have to be. And that's the reason people go, well, why do we need... tenure is ridiculous. You can't be fired. People say that. That's the craziest thing. Why would you have a system where... Because education is not the same thing as selling widgets.
Right.
All the time, somebody has a new idea about education and they want to jam it down our throats. Right now, it's Bill and Melinda Gates. It's Arnie Duncan. It's Michelle Rhee. And their idea is to tie teachers' pay to standardized tests, which everybody who knows anything about
teaching... Then they
teaching,
just cheat on the tests.
Everybody who knows anything about teaching says, well, that takes away all the craft from the teacher.
Also, based on IQ, what you're already going to get. Listen,
and now
I'm a pretty educated Jew.
Mm-hmm.
My IQ test was going to be higher than fucking some rednecks, no matter who my teacher was.
And so when you type exactly what you said, Ari, when you type teachers paid to their performance, they cheat on the test.
Yeah.
Michelle Rhee, who's the darling of the charter school, right? She taught for 2 years in Washington, D.C., and her school had the biggest erasure marks on their score. And she's out there still pushing standardized testing. She left under a cloud of a scandal over cheating. Now in Atlanta, did you see what happened in Atlanta?
No.
The whole 35 teachers had to go to jail, including the superintendent, $1 million bond, because they found out they've been cheating for 10 years
to
on these tests.
Funding.
Well, if the only way you can get more funding for your... So here's the brilliance.
And that's not even putting it in your own pocket. It's just like, I want money
from
to give
school.
To my school so I can get better teachers and give them better educations. I have to cheat in order to...
So it's the schools who do well on standardized tests get more money. The schools that do poorly, instead of giving them more money to help them because they're in crisis, they take away money from that school. So it's the dumbest thing, and it's all people who aren't master teachers. Arne Duncan, not a teacher. He's the head of the education. He's pushing all this race to the top, which is just No Child Left Behind on steroids. Michelle Rhee, not a master teacher. So the reason why you give tenure is so when a stupid idea like fucking standardized tests come down the pike, a master teacher can stand up and go, this is bullshit, and you can't fire me because I know about education and Arne Duncan doesn't.
That's why
you give teachers tenure, because they've proven themselves to be a master teacher. And you know,
also, it's like, give them incentives. Like, if you last here well for 10 years, you can cash in.
Yes, if they get reviewed, right? They get reviewed by administrators. So it's not like other teachers. If you can just stay here, they have to get reviewed. And if the administrator, principal, or whoever says they're not up to snuff, they don't get tenure.
Yeah.
So this is all demonizing. We need a demon. Whenever there's a problem, we got to find a demon.
Find a cause for it.
And the demon is the teacher. It's got to be a shitty teacher. And if we just apply some corporate principles to the education, it'll just work out great. There's a cheating scandal. In Houston right now. There's a cheating scandal in Atlanta, Minneapolis. There's cheating scandals of course. And if the only way to get more money for your school is to get higher grades on these standardized tests, they're going to cheat on the tests.
Do you remember the SATs changed?
No.
They have, a few years after me, whatever the SAT standards were, let's say the average was 1,100.
Mm-hmm.
That seems high. Let's say the average was 950.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't like that number. So they said, let's make it higher. And they just
arbitrarily made
the test easier, so the average would now be, same student, same mind, would now be a 1050 or 1100.
Really?
Yeah, so everyone just did better on the new SATs.
So now my 350 looks even worse.
Even worse. 350. Woo.
Luckily I did well in the ACT. The point is, no, I don't even remember. I was from the Midwest, so we all use the ACT, although I did take the SAT. I don't even remember what I got.
Where are you, Chicago guy?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, we used the ACT, which I got a 23 on. Which was,
we didn't have those at
that's
all.
That's not bad.
That's good.
It's pretty good. Yeah, it's all right.
Here's my question about progressives. You guys tend to. I've just started thinking this way. A little bit. Like, I've just started getting into this thought.
Okay.
Of hey, maybe they are lying to us. You know, once I've done enough mushrooms, I start seeing like, oh, people are just people.
Mushrooms are good.
Yeah, and so like, I would embezzle. If I had a job, if I was working for the TSA, I would steal your iPad. Why would I be different than they are?
Why would you be different than the bankers who sit at the tippy top of our economy, who are basing their entire economic model on fraud?
Yeah.
Which is what banking is now. It's robo-signing. It's one fraud after another. Even HSBC, that bank, got caught laundering like billions of dollars, and nobody goes to jail.
For like the mob.
For drug cartels.
They're fine with something like 2 weeks worth of money laundering.
Well, yes.
So it's like they're fine. It's like, all right.
They didn't even have to pay back all the money laundered.
Yeah.
No.
They just still have made plenty of cash off that. It's like we had this place called Bar Azur.
Uh-huh.
We started as a good open mic, good mainstream open mic. We'd all try to do new material every week. And it was right after the smoking ban in L.A. And they allowed smoking in there. And they say, we'll just take the $200 fine. If they come in once every 2 weeks, it's worth it for our customers to know they can come here to smoke.
That's exactly what HSBC did.
Yeah.
We'll ignore the law. And what that does is it breeds contempt for the law in society.
Mm-hmm.
Because the people at the top don't have to follow the rules, but we do. There are people in jail right now for life over a nonviolent third strike. You know, and these guys who are laundering money, billions of dollars, nobody even goes to jail.
Because
these,
we need them.
These guys, we don't need them. It's because they own the government. That's the problem. You know, the difference between the Treasury Department and George Bush's administration and Barack Obama's administration is the difference between the 6th and 7th floor at Goldman Sachs. There's no difference.
No difference.
There is no difference.
I'm starting to get that more and more, where it's like, it ain't up to Barack Obama. It's not up to him. And also, he's in the same game. He's playing the game. The game has to change.
Yeah, Barack Obama's a game player. He's just a little better than the other guy, and that's what they count on.
Maybe he's more interested in social issues, but it doesn't mean he can get anything done.
So let's say, let me ask you this, Ari. So you and I both know that Social Security doesn't add to the debt. Not one penny, never did, never will.
Okay.
So why would President Barack Obama, which he just did last week, come out and propose cutting benefits to Social Security to solve our debt problem? Unless...
When he must know that that's not the...
Of course he knows.
Because he's been done... Well, they've shown him the numbers.
So it's just easy to take money from the Social Security people and put it towards the general fund, which is what they're going to do, which is what they're doing. George Carlin predicted this. Do you remember that? He predicted... There's clips on the YouTube, and they're coming for your Social Security. He talked about how they don't care what you think, because they only care about the owners of this society, and you're not an owner.
But there's a reason. There's a reason. There's a reason for this. There's a reason education sucks, and it's the same reason that it will never, ever, ever be fixed. It's never going to get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you got. Because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. The big, wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. Politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pockets. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They got you by the balls. They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want. Well, we know what they want. They want more for themselves and less for everybody else. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interest. That's right. You know something? They don't want people who are smart enough to sit around the kitchen table to figure out how badly they're getting fucked by a system that threw them overboard 30 fucking years ago. They don't want that. You know what they want? They want obedient workers. Obedient workers. People who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork and just dumb enough to passively accept all these increasingly shittier jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it. And now they're coming for your Social Security money. They want your fucking retirement money. They want it back. So they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street. And you know something? They'll get it. They'll get it all from you sooner or later because they own this fucking place. It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. And by the way, it's the same big club they use to beat you over the head with all day long when they tell you what to believe. All day long, beating you over the head in their media, telling you what to believe, what to think, and what to buy. The table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged. And nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. Good, honest, hardworking people, white collar, blue collar, doesn't matter what color shirt you have on. Good, honest, hardworking people continue. These are people of modest means. Continue to elect these rich cocksuckers who don't give a fuck about them. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't care about you at all. At all. At all. Man. You know? And nobody seems to notice, nobody seems to care. That's what the owners count on, the fact that Americans will probably remain willfully ignorant of the big red, white, and blue dick that's being jammed up their assholes every day. Because the owners of this country know the truth. It's called the American dream, because you have to be asleep to believe it.
Yeah. And he talks about, and they're coming, and he ended with, they're coming with for your Social Security, and son of a bitch, they're coming for our Social Security, and who's leading the charge? A fucking Democrat. The problem is he accepts the framing of the liars who want to ruin Social Security, right? The frame is that, Social Security causes, we can't afford it, it's a problem. Instead of Barack Obama coming out and saying what he should say is that Social Security and Medicare are not problems, they are solutions to problems. We used to have a problem of elderly poverty in America, and then we got Social Security, and then we still had a problem where 33% of elderly people lived in poverty, and then we passed Medicare, and that dropped down to 11%. Wow. So we fixed elderly poverty. You don't have to worry about dying and eating dog food. You get to have a real life when you retire in America because we can afford it. And by the way, you paid for it.
Right. But isn't the problem with Social Security that the fact that people are living so much longer now that you only pay in for a certain amount of time? When the age was 65, that was the average age that you could work until before you die.
Right. So the
now it's like you're living to 100, and like now we're paying for people an extra 35 years, and they're not paying in an extra 35 years worth.
Right. So if you look at the trust fund, the Social Security trust fund is solvent until 2037.
Okay.
It might have gone down a few years recently because they got rid of the payroll tax for the last 2 years. Remember, they got rid of that for people, and now they just reinstituted it in January. So I'm just going to tell you the fact. So it's solvent until 2037.
Solvent means that it's
going to work. Okay. It's going to be paying out money, and it's not going to be in debt.
Okay.
So in 2037, it won't be able to pay out all the way. It will only be able to pay 75% of what people have coming. So you can fix that by removing the cap. So there's a cap on when you pay into Social Security. It stops at like $110,000. So you stop paying in.
Oh, just keep
paying. So if you just get rid of that cap and now you just keep paying, that solves it for another 80 years. It's fixed for another 80 years.
Wow.
And people say to Barack Obama, why didn't you propose that? Why did you propose cutting benefits to people? Why didn't you propose getting rid of the cap so people have to pay more?
People just keep paying Social Security like they always have and always will until they're done working. It's one of the taxes we have.
Another little known fact.
Why wouldn't he?
Because he's one of them.
Well, wait. What does he stand to gain from cutting out that instead of just raising the tax?
Because
then he would have to keep paying? People would have to keep paying?
My theory behind, because he's in bed with the same people, right? Yeah. His party's in hock to the same people, and he's accepted the same bullshit framing as the rest of the media and country that Medicare and Social Security are problems instead of solutions.
Yeah.
And I keep tweeting towards David Axelrod every day, next time you go on TV, could you remember Social Security doesn't add to the debt? And, you know, of course, he never responds to me, but he knows that people on the left know better. And for whatever reason, some people are saying that Barack Obama's going to out-ninja them by offering to cut Social Security.
They want to believe in him so bad.
No, yes, that's
people
what that is.
They want to believe in him so bad. That's so even if it looks like they're doing the opposite, they're like, no.
Yes,
he must be going in overtly. Shut up.
My friend Frank Conniff, who is brilliant and funny, and I love him, he said pretty much the same thing on my show. He said, no, he's just trying to out-politic them because he knows they won't take the deal, and then he gets to look reasonable and they don't. I go, so you're telling me that Barack Obama is out ninjing the Republicans by giving them everything they want?
Right.
It doesn't sound like out politicking. It sounds like you've just reinforced that bullshit meme in society that Social Security is a problem and adds to our debt when it isn't a problem and it doesn't add to our debt.
This is the same way, I don't know if you're ever in Screen Actors Guild insurance, but they stopped offering, because of Obamacare, they stopped offering mental health coverage to anyone plan to.
Anyone? Is that true?
Yeah. And I asked them, it's like, why? And they're like, Obamacare. And then I call back a week later, I'm like, Obamacare hasn't gone into play yet.
Yeah, it hasn't even gone into effect.
They said that there's a couple parts of it that have.
Yeah.
And that if you have to offer the same amount to everyone that's being offered insurance. So if they offered the plan one people, you know, 20 visits a year, they have to do that for everyone. And they're just not cost effective. And so they have to just not offer any to plan two. So I'm like, one, I told them I hope a new, like, Andrew Loeffner comes down to the SAG headquarters and just shoots everyone up because he hasn't gotten medical.
Yeah.
But I was
that
like,
would be, you know,
like maybe he'll make a change.
It's
then.
Weird. You can't say that stuff in public that you really feel like that. You have to say I'm joking. But a little part of us.
I hope a few of them die so they will see that this is a problem.
Well, I can't.
But here's the deal. But I was like, if you just raise, they only bill SAG earnings up to, I think, 100 grand. You pay 2% of your income towards SAG for up to 100 grand. I'm like, make it, or up to 250,000. I'm like, make it up to 20 million. Why are you limiting it? And
right.
Then the low level people can't get insurance.
Right.
I have to pay all these dues. Just bill everyone the same amount, percentage.
Yes.
You're protecting fucking Tom Cruise.
Yes. So this is what a plutocracy looks like, Ari. This is when the government is working for the benefit of only a handful of people. And that's exactly what's happening. They pass laws. They don't pass laws to help us. They pass laws to help them. That health care bill that brought Obamacare, that was as much health care as he was allowed to give you from the pharmaceutical and health insurance companies.
What they're allowing.
Because they're making money off Obamacare.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to have to be in the system. They're going to make money.
I am paying more now.
Yeah, well,
I'm only getting 90% coverage.
And where's that going? That money's going to the health insurance companies.
Wow.
So that's another.
And they're building it anyway.
And so the thing we should do is Medicare for everybody. Everybody who's on Medicare loves it, Ari. Everybody who's on Medicare.
Who gets Medicare now?
Senior citizens.
Only senior citizens.
Yes.
Who gets Medicaid?
Medicaid are people who are in poverty, okay. And you have there's an economic threshold, and each state has a little different one.
I always thought that was the most embarrassing thing about America, is that we, if someone breaks their leg, we won't help them fix it.
Well, they'll say you can go to emergency room when they have to take care of you. And I'm just like,
it's thousands of dollars, and you can't afford that.
And I'm just like, and then you have to, then they sue you, and you lose your house because you had a broken leg.
I had a staph infection once.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Rogan saw it. I was limping.
Wow.
I was limping because it was so bad. I just thought it was a bad spider bite that was blowing up. He's like, why are you limping? And I told him. He's like, oh, fucking show it to me. He was like, dude, that's infected. You have to go. That's a staph infection that's infected. You have to
you
go
could
right
die.
Now. Yeah. He goes, that becomes impacted and goes throughout your whole system. Once that happens, you're fucked. And he goes, you got to go right now. And I went down to Kaiser. It was like midnight. And like, we can admit you now, but it's going to cost you this much money. If you go during the day, tomorrow, it'll cost you a lot less. And I was like, I'll take the chance.
Wow.
Afford.
What a weird system mm-hmm. we have. That is what a weird system. Hey, we're going to we all know that it would save everyone money if we stopped doing it that way. If we just gave everybody coverage like Canada.
Yeah.
It would be, you know, are there problems with their system?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Every system has a problem.
Yes. Every system, exactly. So there's horror stories for every system. That system's a lot better. Nobody goes bankrupt when they get sick in Canada.
Yeah. The bankrupt. Like, oh, bankrupt. Now I lose my house because I got into a bad car accident.
All the money I made in my comedy career all went out the window when I got an illness. Because yeah. I didn't get ill in a regular way.
What was your illness?
I had a really, really rare bone disease that was hard to diagnose. Took a couple years to get the right doctor to even figure out what it was. And so then, you know, he had to do all these tests and do all these things that are very unique to this one thing. Like 4 people a year get this thing I have, right? Wow. So it's like nobody
What's
gets
it, called?
It. It's called hypophosphatemic osteomalacia. And so they would just deny the thing. I would send the claim and deny, you're not going to get this MRI, you can't get the CT scan, you have to pay for it all out of your pocket. You just have to pay all this money at every turn.
Yeah.
And so it wiped out all the money I'd have ever accumulated being a stand-up comedian.
Fuck.
And that's, yeah, yeah.
And like, we're going to send you to the poorhouse instead of just helping you.
Yes, instead, I have an
instead
illness.
Instead of all of us chipping in a little bit. So
yeah.
People, no, okay, here or there, people are going to abuse the system. That
yes.
happens. I remember this, they talked about Reagan taking away welfare because some black lady was driving a Cadillac.
Cadillac. And
yeah, and he was like, on welfare, driving a cow, get rid of the system. And all these really poor people with kids are like,
right.
No.
Yeah.
I need this to feed my children. Please
yes.
don't do this.
Yes.
Fuck that lady. Who cares about that one lady? There's outliers.
Yeah,
this is the problem with humans. They view stories more importantly than they do statistics.
Yes. They like to use those anecdotal stories because it enrages you and it makes you you're angry at the poor. Whenever you find yourself being angry at people lower down the economic ladder than you,
yeah.
there's a good chance you're being manipulated by somebody higher on the economic ladder than you.
Yeah. These Mexicans come and take our jobs. Do you know anyone
you're angry
who's lost
at poor
a job
people.
To a Mexican?
You're angry at people who come here and want to work hard.
Yeah.
This is who you're angry at. Yeah, it's a crazy society.
So here's the problem with progressives.
Okay.
You guys have some serious points.
Mm-hmm.
But you come off, the progressives come off as like kooky people who are just screaming to the stars.
You mean as opposed to the people who are against gay marriage
well,
and the
what,
people
no,
who
you have,
drill baby
no.
drill,
yeah.
Sarah Palin, Michelle Bachmann. You mean not saying like those people?
No, but like you have a mainstream media and you have like, oh, this seems like a source. And everyone else who's saying, the progressives are like, they're lying to us. The government's lying
yes.
to us. It seems like people with bells
I know.
On the corner. And so how do they get over that stigma where they just seem like crazy people yelling?
You know what? Reality seems to support them. It keeps happening, right? So the people who are protesting the Iraq war, proven right. The people, right? They were marginalized. Those,
uh-huh.
you know, there was the biggest protests ever against that war, barely covered in the mainstream media, barely covered, right? And so, I mean, Occupy Wall Street is another
yeah.
one. Very easy to marginalize those people.
Yeah, that's what I did for a while until I realized, mm-hmm. like, wait, why am I against them?
Why they all
why
they
I
want
don't like them?
All they want is the economy to work for everybody,
or to at least be transparent. Like, let's show us the money you're getting.
Right. Why is it now that banking, why did you have to get rid of all these regulations that served our economy well for 75 years since the New Deal? Why are you repealing the New Deal? This thing works.
Yeah.
So, again, Occupy Wall Street. It's like, you know, I had a friend. You know, that's the beauty of Facebook, Ari. You get these old friends from Facebook who you couldn't care less about. Uh-huh. And they're like, hey, remember me? Yeah, remember we don't talk. I don't give a shit about you or your fucking kids.
Yeah.
And
or your children. Yeah.
And so I had this one kid, who was picked on a lot in high school. And I befriended him in high school. And he was smart and I liked him. And he became a captain in the Chicago Police Department because that's how that shit works. And so now he's... His status on his Facebook one day was like 4 months into the Occupy Wall Street. What do these Occupy Wall Street people want anyway? I'm like, really, Tim?
Like, are you seriously asking?
You don't,
or are you just like, ugh.
Yeah, yes. I'm like 4 months into this and you still don't know what they want. Turns out you're a pretty shitty detective.
Yeah, you're a captain. Just look. Just ask somebody.
You don't know what's happening with the criminal enterprise that it's called banking in America now? You don't understand that nobody's investigating them? You don't understand that they're able to... literally build their business on fraud. Robo-signing.
What is that?
So robo-signing was, if you buy a house, you have to, the states control the, so like if you're not paying your mortgage, the sheriff comes to kick you out. That's the government.
Okay.
So they're getting involved in a contract, right? Mm. So you have to have people to sign these contracts, so these mortgages and all this stuff. You have to get people, an actual person, to sign them. So what they would do, they knew it was fraudulent what they were doing, so they farmed it out to what they call like a servicer. And they would just have a minimum wage person sitting in there signing these mortgages, just signing them as if they were president of a company, and they weren't. And then we did investigations. We found this out. These are fraudulent mortgages. So when the bank comes to take your house, they have to have paper. So you go, well, this is a fraud. It's fraudulent.
I never signed that. Nobody.
This is fraudulent.
Yeah.
This is not. That's not a real person. That's not a thing.
And they would still kick people out of the house.
Still kick them out of the house.
And you're like, no, I've proven that they need this thing. They don't have it.
So then the state's attorney is going to bring a suit against the banks, and the federal government steps in and goes, oh, no, we fixed it. We fix it. They have to pay a fine.
With no repercussions.
No, nobody goes. Nobody even loses their job. So
no one even loses their job.
Yes. They just came out with another report that showed that people who actually were paying their mortgage on time were getting kicked out of their house.
Yeah.
So, and nobody goes to jail for that. Literally kicks you out of your house. How
you
could
can't
you
do anything? You try to, it's a bureaucracy. So you can't get through to anybody. You can be like, oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Right.
Here, go back in.
So their business was built on fraud. They lied to their own customers. They told them that these securitized mortgages were good when they knew they weren't.
And so then how do you change that?
Dissemination
of information?
Real estate. Well, you get money out of politics. The big problem is you have to get money out of politics. If we can get money out of politics, which is what John McCain was on board for in 2000, right? For campaign finance reform.
How would you do that? Wouldn't the richest people be the most electable then?
So the best way to do it,
yeah,
is you have the government finance elections. It would save us so much money in the long run.
Explain it.
If you qualify a certain amount of signatures, you get money to run your campaign.
And
make campaigns shorter.
To do this.
Make campaigns shorter. You know, campaigns are forever in America. 2-3 years run for president.
Yeah.
You know, in England, they have they want to have a new election 6 weeks. Boom.
Yeah, but the thing is, too, campaign's only 6 weeks. Let's just say that.
Right.
But a year and a half earlier, if I know I'm running for president, mm-hmm, I'm going to start doing appearances.
Right, right.
On Conan, I'm going to start getting my face out there. Like, no, that's also campaigning.
Right. No, you're correct. The bigger point is to get the money out of politics. And that's hard to do, you know.
And so is telling everybody the problem going to accomplish that?
I hope so. I was cynical about it. I had thrown up my hands.
Yeah, because
Like, we're never going to get money out of politics. It's only gotten worse. It's not getting better. We had the worst economic crash since the Great Depression, and they still didn't re-regulate the banks. They're even bigger than they were now before.
Yeah.
So I got real cynical. I'm like, well, I'm just going to try and get mine because there's nothing you can do to save this country.
It's too big a problem.
You can't save this country. And then I was talking to this guy, Cenk Uygur, who hosts his show on Current TV, used to have a show on MSNBC. He's from the Young Turks, and he started this thing called the Wolf Pack. And Wolfpack is about getting money out of politics.
Okay.
And then there was this another group that started in West Hollywood that I did a show for. I forget the name of it.
Without money out of politics, corporations, money will continue to control politics.
So
that will happen.
90% of people are for background checks. They almost didn't have a debate on it. I mean, what does that tell you? What kind of a fucking plutocracy?
Background checks on what?
Guns.
Guns, yeah.
They almost, they didn't even, they weren't even, not only were they not going to vote on it, they weren't even going to have a discussion about
it. Well, they had, remember when, what's his name, who's running for president's son? The last honest guy in politics. I always forget his name.
The last honest guy in politics?
Yeah, he was the independent, became Republican. Not Nader, it was the other, he just ran as like a...
Buddy Romer?
No. He's real boring as shit, and his son is a senator also. Mm. Paul.
Oh, you mean Ron Paul?
Yeah.
Oh, sure, Ron Paul, the congressman.
Yeah. His son was doing
Rand Paul.
A filibuster.
Yes, over drones.
Over drones. So I'm saying we shouldn't be able to kill Americans without a trial or even an attempt to arrest them.
Right.
And he went on for 12 hours until he had to go to the bathroom.
Right.
And the way the... I don't usually watch news, but the way the news covered it, I think I was on the road then, was like, this funny story from politics, and not one mention of like, hey, this is a U.S. senator who is saying, I'm going to spend 12 hours of my day ruining everyone's day because I really feel we should not be killing Americans without
a trial.
Like, isn't that the basis of our... And they just glance over it. And then it just gets passed.
Yes, they like to talk about the theater, and they don't talk about the issue.
Yeah.
They talk about how he's doing a filibuster. He's having people help him.
It's a funny word.
And they're going to bring in cots. And the last time we did, they don't talk about the issue. Well, what is he filibustering?
Yeah.
He's filibustering that we've given the president unlimited control to break the Constitution in America. Right now, it's
the only way anything could happen is if a drone killed him during that filibuster. And like, what was that? It's like the president said enough.
Don't you find it funny that people are screaming about our constitutional rights, the Second Amendment? Oh, they just want to have guns. Why? To protect us from the government. Well, the government is already tapping your phone and reading your emails, which is against the Constitution.
Okay, but it's not either or.
So you just want the guns to have the guns. You don't really want the guns to protect you for your privacy or your freedom, because they're already fucking you right now.
And you're allowing all those.
And you're allowing all that to happen. They're not screaming about the warrantless wiretaps.
I started really getting offended by the TSA. I went with you to Portland.
Yeah.
And you were like, you were raging against it a little bit.
I have a hard time with it.
Yeah. And I was like, come on, Jimmy, just fucking give him your bags and let's go. And I get it now. I was like, why? I didn't do anything wrong. Why are you searching
me? I don't have freedom of travel in America. I'm a citizen.
And people say, if you don't like it, don't fly. But I was like, don't you think I told that to Rosa Parks on the bus?
Right. Yeah. You don't like
that reasoning is so shitty.
Wow. Ari, look at you using the good.
Well, I usually go Holocaust, but that gets
this is critical thinking here. This is nice.
But like, what do you mean? You can't change the system? You can't say the system is flawed and still be, I'm for safety. But like...
Right. First of all, it's window dressing. If it actually did something, I would be maybe okay with it.
A little bit more.
But every time they try to get a gun or a bomb on, they do.
They get it on.
And so all you're doing is harassing people. This is just window dressing. It's a massive waste of money. It's an overreaction to what happened on 9/11, which is what everything
is. We were in a very emotional place.
Yeah.
And now it's just stuck.
Afghanistan, Iraq, the TSA, the warrantless wiretaps, reading your emails. This is all an overreaction to Osama bin Laden.
And they said, if you're 20 right now, if you're 20 years old, let's say 22.
You don't even know.
Since you've been 11, you've been flying with the TSA. That is that's your norm.
That's just the way it goes for you.
That's the way things are.
Yeah. You don't remember how it used to be. I remember how it used to be. Flying used to be nice.
Yeah, it did.
It used to be kind of a big deal. When I first started flying.
You could girlfriend at the flight, see her off.
Yes. Yeah, it was kind of romantic.
Touch your girlfriend's tits.
Yeah.
Now if they want to. If a TSA guy wants to, it says random security check, and there's so little you can do to find out whether or not that was random.
And how about the x-rays? I don't know if you heard about this, so I'm like, I don't want an x-ray. They're like, no, it's safe.
Based on who,
based on what the government said? Oh, when did the government ever fucking completely lie to us about something?
Well,
turns out
Ron
those
Paul
weren't
said,
safe.
Those weren't safe.
Turns out they were giving 100 times more radiation than they said they were.
But Ron Paul said this. He was like, we had just privatize the TSA. Just make each airline supply their own TSA. And that way, if they have shitty customer service, they're like, I'm not going to American TSA. They're the worst. I'm going to United.
I agreed with him on that.
Maybe like less room on my plane, but nobody's going to slap me in the face.
Yes.
Or detain me. And then they would fire those people.
Yes.
Instead of giving them remedial training, paid remedial training, and right back to your job.
I'm against that. So I'm glad you came around on the TSA.
Yeah. And I was on a pot cookie one day.
Mm-hmm.
And I went through, I had plenty of time, I turned back, my gate was right in front of the TSA. So I was just looking at them for like an hour, and I saw everybody raising their hands at a checkpoint.
It's a police state.
That's what it is.
It's a goddamn police state. Now, let me ask you
and
this,
people are like, come on, it's not that hard. It's like, no, it's not that hard. That's not the issue, whether it's that hard or not. Right. It's that if I walk down to Starbucks, nobody can stop me and say, sir, take your shoes off for a second.
Right.
Raise your hands up. Okay, now go to Starbucks. That's not that hard either. Right. But you don't get to tell me that. So, who the fuck are
that's
you?
That's the opposite of what this whole country's about.
Yeah.
You know, it's, this is not a papers please society, you know? So let me ask you this. So now they're supposedly keeping guns and bombs off the plane, Ari.
Okay.
So now you got a couple hundred people amassed in a line.
Yeah.
Waiting to go through security. So now if somebody wants to really blow something up, they just blow up that line.
Sure.
So now what do? They pat me down outside the airport? Where are they going to start patting me down? Are they going to pat me down when I get in the taxi?
TSA's already moved to train stations and bus stations. They've started pulling people over on roads.
Yes.
It's
crazy. So are they going to start patting me down when I get on the flyaway bus?
Yeah.
When are they going to start patting? You know what I mean? It's crazy. Just because I fly doesn't mean the Constitution is suspended.
And I used to think if you had nothing when I was younger, I had this thought that the people in charge will take care of things.
You think?
That's how it is.
You think?
Until I did more mushrooms and got older and I realized those people in charge are people. They're individual people. And they're just as corruptible as I am.
Yes.
Do you know how much money I stole from the Comedy Store, from Domino's Pizza, from every job I've ever had? Why would that change if I became anything? Ron Paul, this is what he said. He goes, we pretty much know by now that the screeners, the things that go around and they test you and you have to raise your arms for, the things that were giving us way more radiation than they said.
Yeah.
We're only there because the guy in charge of the TSA,
worked
Michael Chertoff, owned the company that made those things. So he's like, hey, I think, based on nothing,
based on nothing.
No terrorist attempt, I think we need screeners. We need scanners.
Yes.
Oh, and guess what? I actually have a company that makes them. And if anything, he says, listen, we need this, but obviously my company can't make it because that's a conflict of interest.
Need
these.
And how is that not the lead story on Brian Williams News every night? How is until those fucking things are taken away, Ari?
And we know those. We know that. And people are still like, no, come on, it's important. Like, based on what? It is not. I've talked to a TSA guy. He's like,
Remember the Puff machines? Remember those? Puff?
Yeah.
They got rid of those, too. They bought, how many of those did they buy? Who got rich? Then they got rid of them and they brought in the backscatter machine. Now they're getting rid of the backscatter machine. They're going to bring in
the circular ones.
And it's like, are you shitting me? Somebody's getting rich every fucking 3 or 4 years. They change this machine.
And they're like, we can't have these terrorists. Mike, listen, lock the cockpit door and have a metal detector.
Yeah.
Maybe a bomb-sniffing dog.
Yeah.
And then that's it. Like, what if somebody stabbed somebody in the plane? What if somebody stabbed somebody at a restaurant? We were allowed to have knives. That shit could happen.
Right.
That's not the issue here.
Right. I guess that's the price you pay for being in a free society. I'll take that chance.
Well, here's my problem. Yeah, exactly. And they're like, well, if you have nothing to hide, you wouldn't have a problem.
That's not how this country works.
I have lots to hide. I had fucking boner pills in my pocket once, and someone was like, what's in your pocket? You have to take those out. I'm like, I don't want to take them out.
Right.
It's an embarrassing boner pill.
Right.
That I don't want to fucking take out in front of everybody and maybe drop them on the floor.
Did you have to take them out?
No, I said, I'm not doing it.
Ah, good for you.
And he's like, well, we might have to. I'm like, maybe do whatever you want. And none of them know the fucking proper
procedures. They don't even know the procedures.
So just make it up. They say, sir, the law is you have to turn that camera off. Like, no, it's not.
You know what gets me is when people are bringing their kids through or their babies through and they give them a hard time with their kids, you know?
Yeah.
Like the mother had her milk. You can't take the milk through. It's liquid.
Yeah.
You motherfucker. Are you kidding me?
Based on what someone might take acid that looks like milk? Where are you getting this from? A science fiction movie? What thread are you talking about?
So now whenever someone does something, now we got to take our shoes off because there was a shoe bomber. And we got to get our crotch padded down because there was an underwear bomb. I don't understand.
My feeling is a little bit too. It's like, why are the 170 people in the air worth more than the security and freedom of everyone who's flying, of the millions of people that are flying? I don't see. It's like, you know how they decide when they raise the speed limit? They might go from 60 to 65.
Mm-hmm.
And they do studies. And they're like, this will result in the deaths of 7 people this year.
Mm-hmm.
The raising of 5 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to decide what's worth it.
Right.
In terms of human life versus getting to work on time or moving faster. And it's like, they could make it 20 miles an hour.
Yes.
But everyone will revolt and it'll be way safer.
Right.
But it's like, we have to decide what a life is worth. And I think we're overvaluing the life of a flyer.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think
Ben-Gurion doesn't use the fucking scanners.
You know,
isn't it too easy to beat?
Who doesn't?
Ben-Gurion, the safest airport in the world. Like, they don't use this stuff. They're like, no. Yeah. It's a waste of money. They
use actual investigation. They don't treat everyone the same. They actually do investigating. And
that's what Ron Paul said, too. He's like, let's just, if you see somebody shifty, ask them a few questions.
Yeah.
But now, if they're an Arab person who's looking shifty, you'll get fired if you ask them questions because it's profiling. It's like, what's wrong with profiling?
There's nothing wrong with profiling.
If you do it too much and you're privatized,
right,
you will, like Denny's.
Right.
Or IHOP, whichever one that was, will get the reputation of the people who don't serve black people.
I think it was Sambo's. Anyway.
It was Sambo's? All right, you tell me this then. Here's my problem.
So what's your problem? Let me hear it.
Okay. So I see this as a government taking too much control. I think it's a regime problem. It's overall the system we have in place, either with TSA should be scrapped and started over again. The government almost should be scrapped and started over again.
I wish.
Because it's just too embedded in its bad ways. They just passed a law like 5 years ago that congressmen couldn't insider trade.
You figure like, what? You just passed that law?
Yeah, like, wait, that wasn't... I thought it was everybody couldn't. Yeah. Like, everyone except us.
I don't even think it was that... I think it was more recent than that even.
Then they went back on it. Now they can insider trade again.
Oh, now they can do it again?
Yeah.
But the bigger problem is the revolving door with government, right? So the head of the SEC, who was supposed to investigate all these security frauds and all this stuff with the bank, just left the SEC and got a job as a consulting as a fucking the people she's supposed to be regulating. Yeah. So they don't. They know that this is happening.
Like,
that's why
Tom. It's Tom. Let him.
And so they won't. And they won't change. They won't change the law. And
one, because bureaucracy makes it hard to change anything.
Right.
You have a lot of paperwork, and two, because it's like it's us.
Exactly. So you know, it used to be that that's where the First Amendment is really important in America. That they don't have in other countries.
The First Amendment.
The First Amendment is freedom of speech.
Okay.
And the press,
mm-hmm.
And that's why, you know, we give the press, that's a big freedom that they
people
get.
Said, like, aren't you worried about speaking out against TSA, you're going to go on the no-fly list? I'm like, you mean if I speak against the regime, they'll punish me?
Mm-hmm.
They'll give me, like...
That's not what America...
I'm not willing to accept that yet. I'll take
growing up, I don't know how old you are, but when I was a kid, that's what they told me Russia was like.
Yeah.
And that's exactly why we were better.
Yeah.
That's why we have freedom.
Because the gulag can't shut you up.
Yeah, and you're supposed to... And the people who experience the thrill of freedom will never go back. Well, that's not true, because we're going way back. Talk about the frog in the pot, right? But...
Well, here's my problem.
Okay.
I see if there's any... You need some sort of regime change. You need them to change over. And I only see one possible way regimes change in the world.
And that's through violence.
Yeah.
I don't see it happening. You know, FDR had to fight the same people.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my theory. And I hear what you're saying. I've often thought that, like, when they come and raid these pot clinics, mm-hmm. I'm like, what if one of these pot clinics were actually used the guns that they had inside there and started shooting these guys that came in, tried to come in the front door?
So you're just some guy who's raiding
my
business.
Some guy who's coming in against the law from my state.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who you are, and so we're going to start shooting you. Well, guess what? I bet they would stop raiding pot clinics. And don't you think it's hilarious the way they raid a pot clinic, right? I saw him raid the one over here on Santa Monica one day. I was there.
I was out of town. I felt really bad. Called him because I knew him.
So they close off the frickin' street. Everybody's got an M16 in their hands. It's the DEA with their jack boots and all that shit. It's exactly what they would say, the jackbooted thugs, government thugs. And it's like, you really feel like this is how... You couldn't just walk in and ask the guy to come down to the station with you?
Mm-hmm.
You don't think he would?
Just come and arrest him.
But you want to make a big fucking deal. You got it. You guys want to come in because they gave you the guns and they gave you the tank, so you might as well use it.
Yeah, what if there was another Waco with a pot clinic?
Exactly.
People would know, and people would then start saying, like, hey, California, right. No, fuck you. We have a law here that says it's allowed.
And people were cool with Waco, by the way. Nobody got upset that
they went down.
They killed still, even afterwards, nobody lost their job. Janet Reno didn't lose her job for burning children alive.
Yeah, maybe it wouldn't do anything if they rebelled at a pot clinic.
So my thing is, you know, cops are people too. And they're going to think twice about, wait a minute, is this really necessary to go in and take pot away from these people? Maybe I should think about this more, because they like playing cowboy. And that's all that is. They're just playing cowboy. When you have to use an M16 to raid a fucking pot clinic, you're an asshole and you're high on power.
Yeah.
So my thing is, it's going to take... So why was FDR and Teddy Roosevelt... who went up against the same people. It was actually, a lot of people would say it was worse when Teddy Roosevelt did it and FDR, because power was concentrated. And remember, FDR said a government by organized money is just as bad as a government by organized mob. And that's exactly what he was up against. And those people did the same shit to him that they did to Barack Obama. But the difference between him and Barack Obama is they came from money. FDR was rich. So Teddy Roosevelt was rich. So just like Elliot Spitzer, he was the only guy putting these guys in jail from Wall Street. Mm-hmm. And the reason why Elliot Spitzer did is because he didn't need these fucking guys, because he was already rich. And he went to high school with those guys. He goes, you know what? Those guys were fucking cheaters in high school, and they're cheaters now, and I got no problem putting them in jail. Well, Barack Obama grows up his whole life making white guys comfortable with him. His whole thing is to get the rich and powerful people to not feel threatened, and to I'm a compromiser. I'll do whatever you need. To like me. You don't get to be the head of the Harvard National Law Review, the editor of the National Harvard Law Review, by pissing Whitey off.
Yeah.
You don't get to be the first black editor of the of that by pissing Whitey off.
Yeah,
you
get there. Is it worth it to get this credit on my resume,
right,
over having to shut up a few times when I want to say something?
And it's much more than that, I think. And it's just his whole philosophy. It's the way the gears work in Barack Obama's head. And it, whereas Elliot Spitzer, FDR, Teddy Roosevelt, they know these fucking guys. They know they're scammers. They don't need them, and they stand up to them. So yeah. I thought Elliot Spitzer was going to be the guy to straighten everything out.
Yeah.
And guess how they got him?
They
used the fucking Patriot Act to go after him fucking a hooker. That's how they fucking got him.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
What do you mean they use a Patriot Act?
Somehow they kind of tapped his phone and with all this shit. And I don't know exactly. I saw the documentary about it, Client
That's
9,
why
it's
he's
called.
No longer trying.
Yes.
Because he fucked a hooker and they're like, you're out of your
He
job.
Fucked a hooker, and that's why. But they got him because he fucked a hooker. And they were looking to take him
and
down.
He went to jail.
And they used extraordinary circumstances. They wouldn't normally use the Patriot Act in that way, the way they used it against him, but they did.
That's the problem with the Patriot Act. It's not that, let's just say, when people say, no,
right,
Obama wouldn't do that. It's like, okay, let's just say he's a pure-hearted right person. What about the next guy?
Well, it's
what about
not
the next guy who can abuse his power and use the
yes
Patriot Act, not to stop terrorism,
right,
but to get Elliot Spitzer?
People say it's
a lawyer.
When they were starting to do this, when they were starting to tap phones and emails without a warrant, I had people who I respect and like say, well, if you don't have anything to hide, it's that rule. I don't care if the government reads my email. I don't have anything to hide.
Yeah.
And it's not you. It's the guy who's standing up to the government, and they're going to fucking take him down.
On something small.
That's what we. Or maybe someday you get a bug up your ass and you want to do something and run against the sheriff in your town because he's corrupt. And now they use that to fucking take you down. They get all your dirty little secrets. Or they plant fucking porno on your computer. What is there anything easier than planning porno on someone's child porn on someone's fucking computer?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Somebody can remotely operate my entire computer with a virus. Are you kidding me? Of course they can do that. So
and
that's,
they would. Why wouldn't
and
they?
Of
Why
course
wouldn't they
get
they
would
rid of a problem? If you have a thorn, you pull it out.
Right. Exactly.
I don't care about
Iraq
the
thorns, Iraq War, you don't think that the government is willing to kill a few people to get what it wants? The Iraq War, they killed hundreds of thousands of people. They didn't give a shit.
Don't you think it's harder now than Roosevelt and FDR's time? Or not Roosevelt and FDR, Roosevelt and who else?
And Teddy Roosevelt. Teddy and Franklin.
And Franklin. Yeah, don't you think it's harder now because the corporations are bigger and more, and they have more communication now?
Well, you would see, I think power was actually more concentrated in the time of Teddy Roosevelt. I could be wrong about this. I'm not an economist, but he broke up the big trust. He's antitrust legislation, with the railroads and Standard Oil, and there was only a hand. But we're back to that again. There's only five telecommunications companies. There's only a handful of oil companies, energy companies. So we're back to that again. There's only a handful of health insurance companies. We're back to that monopoly. It's like an oligopoly, right?
No,
or oligopoly.
You don't have a choice with telecommunications. Your area can
right
only get AT&T or Time Warner.
Right. Yeah. I was talking about phones.
Yeah.
Even with the phones, right? So recently, AT&T wanted to buy T-Mobile, and
they said it's too much of a percentage.
And they stopped it, which I couldn't believe. I'm like, well, this is going to go through. And it didn't. For whatever, they said it would lower competition. It would be bad for the consumer, basically.
Yeah.
So they said no, which I couldn't believe that happened.
But you're in favor of saying no.
I'm in favor of saying no.
Yeah.
We need more competition, not less. We need to break up the banks. We need to break up the telecommunications companies. We need to break up the oil companies.
And some people would say, well, why are you taking it against AT&T just for becoming bigger? And it's like it's a smart move to buy a competitor so that they can no longer Yes. Know, be a competitor.
Right.
Or
so,
operate two things at once, like and having the, RC and Pepsi.
The effect of that is a net negative on the economy.
Right.
So, for instance, if T-Mobile was allowed to be bought by AT&T, what would happen was they would consolidate their company, fire a bunch of people that they don't need anymore because it duplicates a job. Yeah. So we lose jobs right away. We get less choice for the consumer. Prices go up. So it sucks more money out of the economy for a smaller handful of people. That's not good for an economy. Economies
so
work.
So we say we're going to step in and be like, hey,
yes.
you can't do that because it's for the greater good.
Right, for the greater. It's bad for our economy.
Yeah, for most people.
Yes.
Which is what a government should be, what most people want.
And so we have to engineer an economy that works for the most people. And what they've been doing ever since the New Deal is trying to rig it to where it only works for a handful of people, which is what we have now.
And you can't go too far. You can't, like, shoot everyone at AT&T for wanting to do that. But you can say, like, you're not allowed to do. The laws only go so far.
Yes. I understand that if I was the head of AT&T, I would try to make my company stronger.
You can't blame him. Of course
no,
you would.
No, but you... But, and see,
I can take that guy to lunch and then he won't give me a hard time anymore?
See, it used to be, Ari, and you talk about why has it gotten worse, and it's because the guy... So I would get back to my free speech and the media, right? Uh-huh. So they have an awesome responsibility now to inform the people because they have this First Amendment that you don't get in other places. And that's supposed to really work for our system, and it did. But the guys who were buying the government, right, the corporations and the banks and the oil company, they were buying the government, and they had this fucking pesky media that kept investigating them. And then they got the idea, hey, we'll just get the guys in government to deregulate the media, and then we'll fucking buy the media. And now they bought the media, and they bought the...
That's what Hearst did, right?
They bought the all, but they all, you know, like ABC, there are all these... The defense contractor bought NBC. You know what I mean? So it's the same thing. So now they're all these big, huge multinational corporations that own the media and own the government.
And you know, the reason everyone has TV and everyone has to have an access to an HD box, you know, so that everyone can have TV is because everyone has to have access to the nightly news.
Yeah.
We have to be, but does nightly news, are there any news sources you can trust?
You have to decipher. You know, if you watch them, you know.
To go through it, and it's like getting a girl telling a story about her ex-boyfriend and be like, hold on, let me figure out what the truth is in here.
Yes. So what I do is I'll tape the Brian Williams nightly news, and then at the end of the night, I'll watch it and laugh because I'll see how bullshitty they covered something, or they didn't tell you what you really needed to know, or they pretended it was equal on both sides,
but
you know?
Totally not.
Exactly.
I saw this after Newtown.
Right.
I saw all my AP news feed. Mm-hmm. There were all these stories about gun violence, and it was like very clearly the media wanted to show how much of a problem it is. Like some guy got shot in a bar in Seattle. It's like, okay, that seems like a normal, that's not national news, but okay. And they were just covering it a lot more. I don't know if it's a mixture of because people wanted to hear it because it was so on their minds right then.
I'll give you a great example.
But it's like you're feeding me a story that I know was around last week that you weren't feeding me.
Here's a great example of what we're talking about. So after the Iraq war, you'd turn on the nightly news and they would have on these military experts talking about the Iraq war.
Okay.
They'd have all these generals and colonels on, right? And every news station, CBS, Brian Williams, ABC, Diane Sawyer, everybody, even PBS, right, with the Jim Lehrer.
Yeah.
And then it came out, somebody did an investigation, and they found out that all those experts that the news mainstream news media was using to talk about the Iraq war were all on the payroll of defense contractors, and they didn't disclose it.
Who didn't disclose it?
The news people.
So they knew it.
And didn't disclose it. And Brian Williams has still never addressed it on his news.
So he was in on it too?
He's not exposing it. He's not going to rock the corporate boat, is my point.
So even if he wasn't in on it, he's like, well, at this point he must know. So he's like, I'm not going to say anything and take ownership of this mistake.
Right.
Because that will make people less likely to believe this half-truth I told them.
Right.
When I saw Michael Moore do that piece on for whatever Reno 911 whatever movie he did
Fahrenheit 911. Mm-hmm.
And he asked all these senators or congressmen, would you send your son to war? And it was like no. And then he just cut out the senators and congressmen who was like, yeah, my son's over there right now.
My
son's fighting right now. He just cut those out. Didn't show those in the movie.
Okay.
So it made it seem like, ah, look at all these senators, they would never do it. It's like, no, many are. You've just lied through editing.
But he did...
through omission, you've lied.
But didn't he... I didn't know this about that movie. But those people that he interviewed, they did vote for the war. And then they said they wouldn't send their kid.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah. That is a problem.
So I think that was a story he wanted to tell, was that these people who voted for the war who won't send their own kid, not people who would. I want to show you all the people who won't.
Right.
So I think that's so it might have been an omission, but I think that's not the story he's telling. The story he's telling is about these motherfuckers who voted for a war and then wouldn't send their own kids because they knew it was bullshit.
Yeah, he did the same thing with in Bowling for Columbine. We went to like a Canadian town and like, look, everyone's doors open, and they're like, no, four people have their doors open. We all lock our doors. We have homeless people.
Yeah, I mean, I whenever you're making a documentary like that, there's always going to be, you shouldn't. I heard that even when going back to Roger and Me, which is his first movie, I heard he actually did get that interview with him, but he didn't show it.
Really?
I just read that the other day, and I'm like, I got to double check that. But
after Bowling for Columbine, I was done with that guy.
Oh yeah,
I was like, you're making me believe that the problem with gun violence in America is the smog, so that the people in LA in the parts of LA can't see the Hollywood sign. Like that's in my head. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, wait, what? Yeah, that's nothing to do with the issue.
Can I tell? I'll tell you this. They here's another little reported fact. Lead in gasoline.
Yeah.
So you get rid of lead in gasoline, they find out that 20 years later, crime goes down.
Really?
Mm-hmm. They found that out. And so they've started to study the countries and when they got rid of lead in their gas and their crime. And 20 years after they get rid of it, their crime goes down. That's why crime's down in America. Nobody could explain why is this big crime drop, right? And nobody, it's because of lead in the gas. That's what they say. Because there's no more lead in the gas.
I heard it was also because of legalized abortion.
Okay, because they're killing criminals. Yeah.
The poor people pregnant when they shouldn't are taking care of it now instead of giving birth to new criminals.
Another reason to be on board for abortion is what I say.
Abortion. Yeah.
You know, they say, you know, they keep trying to outlaw abortion, but they're never going to outlaw horseback rides.
Which would cause one.
Right? That's what I do. Come on, you can still go horseback riding, right? Come on, honey. I didn't pull out. Let's go riding.
I got somebody pregnant once, and she was deciding what she was going to do
for
like a month. It was really a tough month.
You try to trip her, push her downstairs, shit like that?
I thought of it. I fully thought of it. I mean, it's crossed my mind, not even like in passing, but like there's an option.
Uh-huh.
But once she said, okay, I'm going to have an abortion, when she made her appointment, then it was like, let's go drinking. Here, smoke another cigarette. It's like, let's make sure
okay.
that this one happens.
I dodged a bullet on that one. I don't know if I'm shooting blanks or
never.
Whatever.
Good for you, man.
Mm-mm.
Lucky.
Dodging a bullet. Yeah.
I thought I was immune until I got somebody. I'm not immune.
What
do you mean? I have sperm and they have eggs. What are you talking about?
You used to be, you would have considered yourself, if I talked to you 2 or 3 years ago, a conservative?
I think I would say a begrudging conservative. Well, I didn't want to say like I'm an old snot or anything, but like I thought progressives were complainers.
Uh-huh.
And they were just like bitching too much.
Right. Because that's how they're portrayed in the media.
That's how it is. They come off as, and I do too now. If I go off on the TSA, I come off as, I know I'm a screaming animal.
Mm-hmm.
When you say personal freedoms, it's a tune out noise. That makes people just tune out like, ugh, this guy again.
Yeah. Because
the word progressives.
Yes. Well, that's why they had to change, because they demonized liberals, so now they change it to progressives. But Teddy Roosevelt considered himself a progressive, and he was a Republican. So progressivism is different than liberalism.
It's a long time ago, though.
Yeah.
The connotations it has now.
Yes, but I would consider myself a Teddy Roosevelt progressive. Yeah. I'm definitely an FDR New Deal guy all the way.
Well, don't you find people tuning out?
Yes.
I mean, I see those people. Who married that chick who ran Levity?
Oh, so there was Steve Marmel married Judy Brown. Yeah.
So you see him on Facebook all the time. Just it's like every post, every 2 minutes was about something the government's doing wrong. And eventually it's like, ugh, dude, I can't. I got to ignore you.
You know what? I try to stay away from making fun of Republicans.
Uh-huh.
You know, because then you're seen as a partisan.
Right.
And that's the last thing.
It's the system.
Yeah, so I try to rant against the system.
That's a good idea.
And certainly, like, the last 3 or 4 weeks on my show, I've been taking down Chris Matthews pretend being against the Iraq War. So we had the 10-year anniversary of the Iraq War. So he comes on every night for, like, a week talking about how pissed off he is about the Iraq War and angry at the people. But if you go back, he technically was against the war. He did say on his show, I'm not for the war. But he was against it like this. You know, I'm against the war, but if you guys want to go for the war, I'm all for it, baby, because I love George Bush and I love our troops. That's the way he was against the war. And when Phil Donahue was against the war, he said he was un-American. You don't like this country. That's what he said to Phil Donahue, because he was full-throated in his opposition to the war. So I like to take down. I don't want to be a partisan. I want to take down Barack Obama harder than I ever thought I would. You know, because he's just as much as one of them. You know, so I went after him over the health care bill. I go after him over the banks and Timothy Geithner.
Why would he sign that bill saying you can arrest people without and never put them on trial?
Because they want power, I guess. I don't know.
How is he saying
he's a constitutional fucking professor. He knows what he's doing wrong.
And he knew he said before that he wouldn't sign that. And then not only, so he clearly is aware of it.
He said a lot of things that he wouldn't do that he did. He said, I won't sign a health care bill that doesn't have a public option. He signed it.
What's a public option?
So the public option is Medicare. Yeah. So if you can't get health insurance from a private provider, you can buy into the government's plan.
Have to have an option for the public.
Yeah, right. Okay. You have to have an option. So if you don't, so if you're going to make it mandatory that everyone has it, so now the government has to provide that service.
Oh.
And the people offered up, hey, why don't you just let people buy into Medicare? I would buy into Medicare in a fucking heartbeat. Are you kidding me? But they said, no, we're not going to do that because that would actually solve the problem.
Yeah.
We're not interested in that. So what was it that made you start to turn around? That made you start to, because I remember you, there was a post on Facebook and it was something about Walmart and it wasn't a snarky thing. It actually, you actually seemed interested. Like, why is everybody so angry at Walmart? Like you were like, what's wrong with Walmart? They're just trying to provide the lowest prices. Isn't that what you're supposed to do? And it seemed like that was your.
Yeah. Some of it with Occupy Wall Street was the same thing. I went online for a week. Uh-huh. Saying, what is Occupy Wall Street's point on Twitter?
Uh-huh.
And I had people saying, oh, you're a fucking idiot. You're part of the problem. Like, no. Listen to me.
I really want to know.
What are they looking for?
Yeah.
And I got about 150 different answers until finally somebody pointed me out to an Occupy Wall Street website that said, here are their main things. Get money out of politics. Get everything transparent.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, well, then their problem is getting their word out.
Yeah.
That was their main problem.
Yeah. They you know, there's a reason why people like leaders. There's a reason why dogs like pack leaders. They need a leader.
They need a spokesman.
You know, when you get on a plane, you don't want the pilot go, what do you guys think? How should we fly? You know?
Yeah.
No, you need somebody that's going to, and that was the problem with that organization. But you understand that there's skepticism of leaders and power when people, you got to do it.
Yeah. Well, the more answers I'm getting, if it's in a calm way, like the 9/11 truthers always like tuned me out because it was like, well, how do you think, this element burns normally? I'm like, I don't know, man. And they always give you names of people that you didn't know existed.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Then tell you about the weird circumstances they died under. And I'm like, I didn't even know that was a job position, let alone who that guy was or had heard how he died. So this is not, I mean, if Ron Paul suddenly died in something really weird as he was starting, as I knew he was starting a campaign against somebody, I'd be like, hold on, let's investigate that.
I wouldn't call myself a truther. I don't know that the government was directly involved with 9/11. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think that they directly were involved. I think that when Building 7 went down, somebody was directly involved with that.
Yeah.
As far as I know that they did anyway, I don't want to get into that.
I think the government's capable of things, and I think that shoe bomber, from what I know of him, that got through, that TSA couldn't stop, that the FBI was aware, or CIA, whichever one, was aware of who he was. They got warnings from his father.
From his father.
Or something. I think they gave him a fake bomb. Because when you're like, oh, wait, he got through, he tried to set it off on the plane, and luckily it didn't go off? What awesome chance that was.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, no, his shoes got sweaty. How sweaty? What is it, filled with water in his shoes? What are you talking about exactly?
But if you say stuff like this, Ari, people go, oh, you're crazy, you're a truther. Oh, you really think George Bush would kill 3,000 Americans? Well, let's put it, this is what I don't understand.
370 million? It's not that big a number.
This is what I don't understand. It's like, we all agree, I think, that the Iraq war was built on lies, and it was because they just wanted to go into Iraq and get the oil, and we all know that.
So why not just say, listen, we're going into Afghanistan, but we're also going to dispose of what's his name?
Saddam.
Yeah.
He didn't have anything to do with, because they couldn't sell it that way, because people actually have to die to make that happen.
So they lied, saying weapons of mass destruction, and once we're in there, people are like, it's the war, we got to win it.
Yeah,
it's
no,
like,
now no, we, right.
Just, let's just leave.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just go.
So, so a person willing to start a war on a lie wouldn't also be willing to let 3,000 people get killed to start that war? That doesn't make any sense. He's going to start a war that kills how many American soldiers have been killed? 4,000 or 5,000, right?
And
but they wouldn't let 4,000 or 5,000 be killed in America. I don't. That doesn't make any sense. Yeah. So that logic doesn't make sense. And they go, well,
for me too, the logic has to always match up.
So all I know is that Building 7 did not come down because a plane hit another building next to it.
Right.
It didn't fall down.
Well, why did Building 7 come down?
If
they were like,
I don't know.
War, it's like two towers wasn't enough.
I'm not going to say.
Because I barely heard about
Tower
7.
Well, they say in Building 7 there was lots of banking stuff in there. It wasn't the CIA. Wasn't there a lot of stuff for the CIA? There was a lot of like sensitive info in that building and all this stuff. This is what I've been. You know what? I don't know. We're left to speculate because the government didn't tell us the truth.
Yeah.
So I don't know why.
Like, I know what Fort Knox has in it. So if something happened to Fort Knox, I already know. Yeah. But now you're telling me after the fact of these documents that were in Tower 7. It's like, just send someone in late at night and fucking steal it like they did at Watergate. What do you mean? You have to blow up a building for it and blow up two others as decoys? Or you knew they were going to blow up the other ones?
You know what?
Use that opportunity?
All I know is when you look at Building 7 and you look at the videotape, what do you think? Do you think that was caused by a plane hitting another building next to it?
I don't know.
You going to look it up?
I'm going to look it up right now. Do you see video? Do you see there's videos of it going down?
Yeah. Just type in Building 7.
Tower 7 collapse.
Mm-hmm. But that'll make you
compiled footage of Building 7's collapse. Did you hear about that bombing in Boston today?
No.
Boston Marathon, right at the finish of the Patriot Marathon.
Really?
Two bombs went off. They don't know what it is. Killed about a bunch of people.
Really?
Some limbs were flying off people.
Well, that's... There it goes.
Oh, did I just miss it? It's
fucking... You know, maybe they'll show you a couple different...
Where's Tower 7? That?
I don't know. Then maybe they'll show... I think so. Oh, there it goes. Yes. That was it.
Wasn't it already on fire? No, it wasn't.
So they say it was on fire.
Oh, there's a building behind. That does go down pretty fast.
But the way it goes down.
Straight down.
And the middle goes down first. Goes. And.
This is just a bunch of different 305,000 views. So, but here's the. Okay.
Wow. So Jesus, let's see Christ. Another view of that. Let it play.
Yeah, the middle does go down first. Man.
Yeah, keep going. I bet they get a couple more better views.
So if this word gets... Come on, AT&T.
Ugh.
There we go. Look at that cloud of smoke just enveloping everyone. I mean, these people, nothing... They're building. That's it.
There it is.
Yeah, it does sort of...
Look at that. Are you telling me... Come on.
God.
And they say, well, you know, so Stranger Things, all I'm saying is that who are you going to believe? The government or your lying eyes?
You can't trust the government anymore.
Well, after they lied us into a war, why wouldn't they lie about that?
Yeah.
So that's the thing I don't understand. People think it's so crazy that they would lie about that. But they don't think it's crazy they would lie about a war.
You lie about a war, you can maybe stage fucking this, or at least let it happen, or who knows. But they can do all sorts of stuff. The Bay of Pigs, I've always heard about that. Like, they just made up some shit to go to war with
people. The Gulf of Tonkin, I mean, that the whole Vietnam War was based on a lie.
And so, like, if they're willing to do that, you don't think they would take the extra benefit of a TSA? You don't think they would just allow that as one small... That's not even the main reason. Is there no video on this? No sound on this? I guess not. Man. Yeah, it really does collapse in the middle, like an accordion.
In the middle. Like you would... Oh, there it is. That's a good view.
But the thing is, I don't know how giant buildings collapse normally.
Collapses into its own footprint, for Christ's sake.
Everybody was out of Tower 7? I'm sure some people died in that.
Building 7? Yeah. They were supposed to have been evacuated, because they didn't fall till like 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh, really?
But, you know, they have videotape of police and the firemen saying, get back, this building's going to go. The guy who owned that building, there was a guy, I didn't even know, there was a guy who owned that building.
Really?
And they interviewed him.
So rich, yeah.
His name is like
Farhad?
It's Saul something.
Oh, really? Jew? Okay.
Saul something. And I'm pretty sure. I could be wrong. But they interviewed him right after, and he tells a story of, you know, we made the decision to pull it, to pull the building. He says, pull it. We made the decision to pull it, which is means we're going to implode it. That's another term for implode, pull.
Wait, so doesn't...
He says this on video. You can find it.
Pull it doesn't... That, couldn't that mean that he just wanted to evacuate everybody?
That's what he says now.
He says, I just meant pull everybody
that's what
out
they,
of there.
That's so, what they say.
It's going to go.
That, if you see the way he says it, it is that is not... Oh, there's a good look.
Wow, it sort of even turns around. What was the bottom of it on fire?
They say there were fires on a few floors. And that what it did was that it weakened the steel. It didn't melt the steel, but it weakened the steel.
And
that's what made it fall.
Well,
it wouldn't fall. I mean, I'm not an engineer.
With all that was then they're like, yeah, see? I'm like, see what? I still don't know who gains from that or who loses. I don't know if that means George Bush did that. I don't know if he was even involved. I don't know. There's so many different people that could have been. I don't know who's to blame. Let's say something was fishy. Let's just say something's definitely fishy and should require some extra explaining.
And people, I think it's horrible when people would point a finger at you and say, what are you, a conspiracy nut? Because you think something's fishy.
It has those connotations. When you question it, you're a conspiracy nut.
Yes. No, no. It's okay to question. I don't think Oswald acted alone. I don't think Building 7 fell. Does that make me crazy?
Yeah.
Am I a mental case?
Yeah.
That's what people would... Because it's easier for people to dismiss you than actually have to think about it. You know, I ask people when they say about Building 7, they go, oh, you think the government... I go, well, it's funny that you accept the government's view, yet you've done zero research on it, right? I've done no research. But you just accept what the government says. Without ever... It's usually never someone who has studied it and looked and read up on it.
Well, growing up, the people in charge will look out
for
things.
They'll take care. That's what you want to think,
the
right?
The doctors will give you the best medical advice. And you don't even have the thought that if there's some top level doctors, that means there must be some that are below the average.
Or it's just like, hey, there's going to be an asteroid that hits America. They're going to figure out what to do.
Yeah, exactly. It'll get taken care of. Instead of going, wait, how?
Yeah.
Should I move?
Yeah, maybe.
What's happening?
Maybe it won't get taken care of, just like the nuclear bombs or...
Well, you've learned that with managers after a certain point. Remember when you started comedy? You're like, they'll take care of stuff. And then you realize at some point you have to double and triple call your manager or agent because you're like, guys, I'm not joking. I really want this thing done. So if you're not going to make that call, I'll make the call myself. I just want to know.
Yes.
Because sometimes they just people in charge just won't do it.
Yes, that is... Yeah. Well, it's good. So tell me again, what was it that started you?
I don't know, man. It might have been mushrooms. It might have been depression. It might have been a combination of those and just getting
older.
How
do you feel about Walmart? Oh, it was Occupy Wall Street, you said.
Yeah. Well, Walmart, things like that, it's like I get that they should give benefits to people, but...
I don't have a problem with Walmart. Here's my problem with Walmart.
It's ruining the mom and pops, but it's like they offer you so much more in one place. It's an amazing store.
If they were allowed, if people were allowed to unionize...
Oh, so not allowed to unionize.
So if they didn't bust unions and they were allowed to unionize, I would say okay.
No, wait, they bust unions?
So yeah, they break unions.
So nobody ever told me that. The only thing they ever said about Walmart was it ruins mom and pop stores.
So in Texas, they used to have a meat department at Walmart in Texas. The meat workers, like the butchers, they unionized. They fucking did it. They broke through. They all risked being fired. They fucking did it. They unionized.
They got everybody together.
Walmart got rid of their meat department in Texas.
Said you're out.
Oh, no more meat in Texas. We'll show you. That's just like Reagan. Oh, you Patco, you want to go on strike? I'll fire all of you.
But sometimes the problem is, I worked at the Beverly Hills Chamber of Commerce for a while. And there was a woman there who worked there who used to be a stewardess at Eastern Airlines. She was telling me about how they went on strike.
Right.
For more money. And I was like, it really interested. I was like, so what happened? She goes, when's the last time you flew Eastern Airlines?
Because
the problem with unions is sometimes they don't take into account the store's bottom line, that it's like right on the line.
Well, that's certainly
but
not
still,
the problem
you still
with
gotta
Walmart.
Look out, you still got to look out for yourself.
Yeah.
I don't care about their bottom line. At some point, you still got to pay me an honest wage or, go out of business.
Right. Or go out of business. I don't have a problem with that. I think that if people are allowed to organize and we protect their right to organize, I'm okay with Walmart.
Like they're taking away in Wisconsin, right?
But they're taking it away, yes.
So you can't organize.
In Michigan. When Michigan, they're doing that right to work,
That gives us power. Organizing means we don't have to let children work because we're saying, hey, let's all get together and say we're not going to allow this. And let me just talk to that one kid. Let me just hire him a job. Like, no, we all got together.
Yeah.
And we're mightier through unity.
How about numbers? The Twinkie company, right? Everybody was talking about Hostess, oh, because the union, right? Well, if we did a little, everybody did a little research, and we quickly found out that it was bad management run by a Bain Capital-type place that was ruining this place, and they were all enriching themselves in that same leverage buyout bullshit that they've done everywhere that sucks profits out of a company until you can't suck any more profits out of it, and then you just sell it off, which is what they're doing. So it had nothing to do with the unions. It had nothing to do with the unions.
That's what Lampoon's did with their name. For a while, they were like the name in comedy, or one of the names in comedy. And then they just started saying, give me 50 grand, and we'll put our name
on your
thing.
You can put your name on my
thing. And then eventually it wasn't worth anything. And you can't blame the employees for that. You blame the one owner who decided to do that.
That's right.
Like, well, you mortgaged everything. So now, what is the answer to getting changes? First of all, I didn't know that about Walmart, that they busted unions. That was never presented to people.
Yeah.
It was just, it's killing mom and pop shops.
Yeah, so it's that, it's the, and it's the other thing too. Yeah. So otherwise they would be unionized. Otherwise they would be. My whole thing is, you know, same thing with fast food. How come fast food companies aren't unionized? Especially because of this economy now, we've outsourced all the good jobs. Yeah. Those are the jobs that are left here, service industry and fast food.
You should all stand up and say, yeah, until you fucking put out that fire in the kitchen, we're not going back in there. Like little things, you know?
Yeah.
But everyone was complaining. I did my first commercial I ever did. They were late on lunch. They have to give you a lunch or a meal break every 6 hours.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't, it costs you, I think, $25 every 15 minutes per person. And then it gets
$50
bucks
they
the next
15
minutes. Because otherwise, they wouldn't give you a meal
for
9, 10 hours.
That's right.
And so they're like, do you mind? I'm sorry, we're like 30 minutes late. And that wasn't a big deal. But without those barriers, they will take advantage.
Completely.
Everyone will do that.
Yes.
If you don't get mad at me when I'm late to get you at the airport, I will be later the next time. And it's not like I'm an asshole. It's just like there's no you learn the repercussions. So how do we change anything?
So if you
just
got
information.
The biggest problem, and there's actually I just saw a TED talk about this. A guy gave a talk about how, you know, his issue.
Do you remember?
I'll send you a link.
Okay.
But his issue is getting money out of politics. And he said, it's not that my issue is more important than yours. You're an environmentalist, or you want to do this, or you want to help school education. It's that you can't do your agenda until you do my agenda.
Oh, right.
Until we fix money in politics, you can't fix education. You can't fix banking. You can't fix more. You can't fix our economy. And that's exactly the truth. So I think
the unions, if Walmart gives enough money to a guy, they're like, oh yeah, you can bust those unions.
Bust those unions. That's right.
A guy in charge, the guy in charge of making the rules.
Right.
Like and our so senators, our congressmen, our police.
A big thing right now is card check with the unions, which Barack Obama said he was for. He said that I would put on a which makes it easier to form a union.
Okay.
Card check, right? So it makes it easier. So it helps. So they won't do that, right? Barack Obama said, I'll put on a comfortable shoe and get on that picket line with you if you're he didn't fucking do he didn't even show up in Wisconsin when those teachers
he just said it
he didn't even show up he barely even talked about it. He wouldn't even talk about the Wisconsin teacher thing. He's not the leader we need. He's not the leader we need. He's better. He's better than John McCain would have been. He's
got,
better
he
than
got
Mitt
Donald
Romney
Stoltel repealed.
Then that's what they're counting on,
the little things.
So, yeah, he does Lilly Ledbetter. He passes a form of universal health care, but it's just a corporate, you know, giveaway, really.
Well, really, I am now, for my depression medication, because of whatever he passed, I'm going from $15 a month to $150 a month.
Wow.
What's a considerable amount of money. I was like, wait, how much am I paying for this? I was like, oh, I would never get SAG Plan 2. I would have to go somewhere else and get my own insurance.
That sucks, man.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that, like, it's costing me $1,200 a year,
and it's because he's beholden to the pharmaceutical companies.
Yeah,
he's beholden to the health insurance companies. That's why this happened. Because if he wasn't, he would institute Medicare for everybody, because it would do three things. It would solve the problem. It would save everybody money.
It would save everybody money.
It would save everybody except the moneyed plutocrats. So it would save, except for the crony capitalists, right? So it would save everybody money, it would solve the problem, and he would go down as the greatest fucking president since FDR.
Because he got us all insurance.
Mm-hmm. And saved everybody money and brought us into the 20th century. Even though we're in the 21st, he would bring us into this. And you know why England has universal health insurance? You know why France has universal health insurance? Because they had a war in their country. You know, if you're pulling bodies out of the ground zero on 9/11 in Manhattan, and you take them to a hospital, you don't go, does he have insurance? You just fix them.
Yeah.
So that was happening in England and France and all. So people would, and that's, we have to figure this out. How do we fix this? We can't be making people pay they can't pay. So they we have this, so it just made sense.
Yeah.
And that's, we never had a war here in America.
No.
Well, since the Civil War, you know.
That was the only one.
Mm-hmm.
And the 9/11 wasn't a war.
No, that wasn't
attack,
a war.
One battle.
Right, one attack. But if that kept happening,
yeah, then,
and there would be people dead, you're like, oh, we have to figure these people out because they go.
If we suddenly got a glut of orphans, or orphanages would get more money.
Right, yes. Yeah. So, Medicare also solvent, by the way. We pay into Medicare, it's solvent.
How? Oh, wow.
So this is all.
You could easily just change the age in Social Security to 75. You can leave everyone in now at 65. It goes up 1 year, then to 66, 67. Every year it goes up until it matches out at the average life expectancy or something like that. Because people don't stop working at 65.
Well, the thing is, they say people are living longer, but blue collar people aren't living longer.
Are not?
No.
Really? Even then?
No. Blue collar people aren't. If you look at the statistics. Blue-collar people, pretty, you know, I'm talking about miners, truck drivers, mechanics, bricklayers, farm workers. These people are not living longer on average. It's the white-collar worker that's living longer on average, and those are the people who run our media. And so when you see Tom Brokaw come on MSNBC and say, you know, my friends think it's crazy that we retire at 65. Yeah, you mean your fucking friends who haven't done an honest day's work in their goddamn life? Or you mean you were talking with a bunch of bricklayers who are 67 and they think they should still lay fucking brick every day of their life?
Good point. Yeah, your friends that wear makeup.
Yeah.
And they're going
your
air.
Friends who wear makeup.
What are you talking about?
Your friends who have to wear makeup when they go to work.
Yeah. That's not America, dude. That ain't anything.
So I don't know. I love talking about this stuff, but I have to put a lot of jokes around it on my show.
Oh, yeah.
So
I'm
people
sure.
don't get, they're like, oh, I just tune out at it. So I have to put a lot of jokes around it. And
that's,
you know,
the job of a comedian.
It's helped me be successful.
Make them hear what you want to say, but flourish it up. With some flour.
And that's what people say, oh, you must have a hard time when you go to the South. No, I do comedy when I go there. I'm not teaching a class.
Yeah.
I'm telling jokes and people are laughing.
How do you get the money out of politics?
How
would the people who are getting paid now, the politicians, who would be the ones making the rules to get money out of politics, how would you get them
you
to
make those
rules?
You would have to do a thing. You'd have to have a leader. You'd have to have somebody like who has the gifts of oratory like Barack Obama.
You have to elect him?
You'd have to have him. He doesn't have to be elected, but he has to be out there and people have to respect him and listen to him. Mm-hmm. And he has to tell us what to do. You have to say, hey, we need to pass this bill that publicly finances elections. So we and show us how it will save us money in the long run. But
and
doing
the bill
that
would have to be up for vote for us,
right.
Not for just elected
wouldn't
officials
that be
to vote
funny
on.
If they put it to a vote? Wow, that would be wild. They would never do that, huh?
Those are the ones that take care of themselves. Mm-hmm. Only the fucking gay marriage and shit doesn't really matter.
Well, so they would have to put it to, if they put it to a vote, a popular vote. Yeah. So it used to be the politician could turn to their donor and go, look, I got the media is investigating me. I have to vote this.
I can't. I got it.
But now they go, we got the media. They're not investigating you.
Yeah, that makes it so much easier.
Yes. Yeah.
It's just a smarter business model.
This is why guys can block gun legislation that everybody wants.
Yeah.
90% of the people want background checks. They won't give it. 73% of people wanted a public option and we didn't get it.
73%.
73% of the people in America wanted a public option.
So it's not a government for the people, by the people.
No, this is what's called a plutocracy. I keep asking the question, what happens when the government is no longer responsive to the people? Isn't that when you have a revolution?
That's what I'm talking about, man. I'm not going to pick up a gun. I'm not going to be on the front lines.
You know, people are working longer and harder for less money, less benefits. Their houses are worth less than they were 10 years ago. And they don't have any fucking vacation or health. So what... So my thing is, I can't believe one of these guys whose houses got taken away from him hasn't gone down to Goldman Sachs and started firing. Just started shooting.
Shooting everybody.
You know, when does that happen? When is Jamie Dimon?
Shoot yourself at the end. Just say, here's the reason why I did this.
Yeah, I'm not mad at me. Mm-hmm. I'm mad at these guys. They took my house.
Okay, but this is what I tell like new comics and stuff. For the longest time, I'm sure you do this also, it's like, that's not about talent anymore. It's these people are, you know, every time you see somebody mediocre person getting really far ahead, you know, you're like, it's all about this stuff.
I like Dane.
Oh, I'm totally on board with Dane. I don't care.
Oh, I thought that's what you were talking about.
No, but whoever
I like
Dane was a lot of people where I had a problem with him. But he crushed. I'm talking about people who were just like,
Yeah.
And you're like, it's not about fucking talent anymore. And at some point I realized like, oh, listen to yourself. If it's not about talent or only about talent, then there are other things that it's about that you should be interested in. You should network that.
Yes.
You should do these things. Because instead of just saying, it's not about talent and waiting for it to be about talent again, realize the new situation. So... if fucking getting the word out is not going to do anything, if it's not a government for the people, by the people, then what's our responsibility then? Then what should we do? How should we live this? Just say, fucking, you guys won. You guys got it. You're more or less kings.
All I can say is we need to get public financing of elections. We need to support people who are for that. We need to
So there will be politicians who run on that platform.
Yes.
Saying, I don't think we should get
paid. It's hard. I don't know if it can get done, Ari. But
they won't get elected unless they have money. So it's
there's a few of them out there. There's Bernie Sanders. That's about it. And you used to have Dennis Kucinich, but we don't have him anymore.
Why, are you retired?
No, they gerrymandered his district. It was gone.
Oh.
So in Ohio, right, the 2010 elections, they gerrymandered. He's gone.
They just redistrict everything. So it's like, oh, this actually now you have more Republicans than here. So you're a Democrat.
So then he had to run in a more conservative district than he was in
before.
I really
think we should have a parliament system.
Yeah, you know what?
If let's say everyone voted in 48 to 52,
mm-hmm.
voted for one guy. And it's like, so the 48% of don't get any representation? Because the other, that's not right. They should get 48% of the government.
Right. 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 I'm with you. I would certainly think a two-party system is the worst form of democracy.
It just comes down
to a third party would really help this country.
In D.C., that's where I grew up, like Greater Washington,
mm-hmm.
It was 90% black. So the Republican primaries for D.C. mayor was a laughable joke. The mayor elections was the Democratic primary. And then it was over. Because, you know, that's just how they're going to vote.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're like, why are you even pretending?
That happened in Chicago. That was the same way. It was it was called the Democratic Machine.
Yeah.
And then Mayor Daley died in 1975 or 6, suddenly.
Yeah.
And we elected a woman, Michael Blandick. Anyway, long story short, when a black guy won the Democratic nomination for mayor, because they had two white guys running and a black guy. White guy split the vote. Black guy won.
Yeah.
And it was the first I lived in the 23rd Ward in Chicago, and it was the first time they had ever not voted overwhelmingly for the Democrat. They went 90% for the Republican for mayor because he was white.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
That's how high school elections were. It's like if you're a guy running against a girl for president, uh-huh. get another girl to run.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well,
it's less about the issues and mm-hmm. more about the splitting up votes.
It's all about the theatrics, the metrics. Mm-hmm.
God, it's a fucked up system.
You know, at the very least, I was hoping for the Tea Party to become a strong party. I was hoping
another option.
I was hoping for the Green Party. I was hoping for Occupy Wall Street to develop a party. We need a third party. Right now, it's too easy for the people who we're fighting against to buy both parties.
Yeah. Right. If you have 20 people, then there's no monopoly. If there's 20 parties, and you're like, oh, I can't. You could buy two Republicans.
Yeah, right.
And be like, one of you guys going to win.
Right.
I'll have you. Yeah, you can't buy 20 people.
I hate to leave you on a sour note, but I think we can get the money out of politics. I think it can happen. I think it's because everybody wants it.
You think it's through getting
public financing of elections.
Yeah, and you think it's the way we'll do that is by getting a couple like honorable
first of all you
got
to repeat. First of all, you have to get rid of this fucking Citizens United decision, right? Which let corporations are people and they can spend as much money as they want on the election.
Then you should be tried for murder. A corporation should be tried for murder.
Can you? When you put a corporation in prison, that's when I'll consider them a person.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fuck. All right. Well, what's your podcast and all your shows and stuff?
Do you think people made it all the way to the end of this?
Some people do, but probably they already converted do.
Okay.
That's the problem with a lot of the progressives.
So if you'd like to hear me talk about this with jokes,
yeah,
with attached jokes, to yeah. them, you could go to jimmydorecomedy.com. I have a podcast that, and a web series.
D-O-R-E.
JimmyDoreComedy.com.
A podcast.
And my last hour special was chosen best of the year by iTunes. So it does show you.
Oh, nice. What's the special?
It was called Citizen Jimmy.
Okay, nice.
And it was chosen top 5 DVDs of the year by Punchline Magazine when that was Punchline and now it's another name.
And it's on iTunes?
And yes.
How much is it on iTunes?
I don't know.
$5, $10?
Yeah, $10. I don't know. Whatever.
Cheap.
Whatever
if
people
charge.
If you
want an hour of fun entertainment, go get it for $10.
So there you go. There you go. So just I just want to prove people I can make this funny.
Okay. I know what you mean. When I started talking about Israel Palestine on stage like 7-8 years ago, it just came off as ranty hatred.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, I gotta like some jokes in there.
Yeah, yeah. Gotta make them. What did they say? There's a quote, I forget who said it, but if you're gonna tell people the truth, make them laugh or they'll kill you. It might have been Oscar Wilde. I think he might have said that.
I like that.
So, yeah, I've always been heavy on the jokes. I've always been a Bill Hicks fan, Sam Kinison, Lenny Bruce.
One of my favorite memories of you is at the Ice House doing some show. I think I was in the annex, and you were in the main room, and I went in to watch a little bit. And you were doing some jokes, and then you made like a pot. Everyone was going it was going fine. There's a lot of Mexicans there. And you made a pot joke, and it was like, woo, from the crowd. And you're like, oh, well, I'll just shift gears then. Let's just do some pot jokes. And it was like, great.
Oh, you guys like pot. I got pot jokes. Yeah. We're going to be funny up here.
Yeah.
You can't lose sight of being funny. A lot of people do.
Yeah. That's what kills.
Yeah. And that's...
It kills like careers. It's like,
but what do you think
just
about...
Just preachy.
When you bump into these guys who call themselves right-wing comedians...
Uh-huh.
You have to put comedy in there.
So much comedy.
You're not putting comedy. If you're going to stand up for the status quo and be the voice of the rich and powerful, you have to put a lot of if you're going to be Goliath picking on David, you have to be really fucking funny.
They're going to have really enjoy this. That's what an artist should do.
Yeah.
It's like, here's my point, and now it's like you're like Hitchcock built whatever he pointed he wanted to make about male female relations and stuff. He made around a fucking tense thriller.
Yes.
So you would be into it, and then you're like, oh, yeah, women are being kind of mistreated.
And one of the funniest...
This is comic Dave Smith in New York, a young guy, and he was doing like libertarian comedy in a funny way, and I was like really into it. I was like, dude, you're justifying all this with punchlines?
Yes.
And you're making your points, but you're really making them funny. It's not just like... Usually it's like, oh, I mean, what do you think? George Bush again? And you're like, that's not a joke.
I'm with you. I know. I held myself to a high standard, as I think we all should, and... The last thing I want to do is preach when I'm on. That's the last thing I want to do. And I want to entertain. That's why I'm there. I'm here to entertain.
Nice. Are you on Twitter at all?
Yeah, of course I'm. Jimmy _ Dore on Twitter.
You got the _, huh?
I had some guy from Ireland got Jimmy Dore. Fucking prick.
_ makes it so much harder.
It does, I know.
It makes it so much harder.
And I did Jimmy Dore comedy for a while, but that takes up too many
too
characters.
Much space on Twitter, then you're behind the eight ball.
Yeah, I'm losing a word or two every time I want to.
Yeah.
And you have to leave a little space for people to retweet it. You have to leave like 10 characters at the end so people can retweet.
Yeah,
and
15.
There's a lot of... Oh,
to
is
get
that?
My name, RT, at Ari Shaffir, I got to leave 50. I got to go down to 125 if I want people to have the space to retweet it.
I'm not the best tweeter.
Okay.
I'm not the best. I every once in a while I come up with a great... My latest one that got like 51 retweets was...
Nice.
Somebody asked me, they go... Al Jazeera. Well, we need another news. We got CNN. What's the between CNN and Al Jazeera, right?
Yeah.
And I go, well, I think the difference is that CNN shows the missiles taking off, and Al Jazeera shows the missiles when they land.
Yeah.
That would be the big difference.
Yeah.
Look at that, a guy who gets that joke. God bless you.
Al Jazeera, by the way, is another news source. They're not just like a terrorist organization.
No, they're actual news source.
Like, you don't want those motherfuckers in here. Like, what motherfuckers? Someone with a reporter?
With a microphone and a camera?
Yeah, why do we not want that?
Yeah, Al Jazeera, I think, they did show a lot of, I guess they got, a lot of people give them hate for showing Osama bin Laden's videotapes a lot, I guess.
That's not news.
I'm like, why wouldn't you show? Yeah, I don't understand what the problem with that is either. I'm with you. I'm all for it. I'll take a show from Al Jazeera. Would you take a show from Al Jazeera? I would take a show.
Like, be on a show on there?
If they gave you a show, hey, you want to do the Ari Shaffir show on Al Jazeera?
Yeah. They would allow me to make Arab jokes at least once
in 54 million homes.
Yeah, that's not bad.
I would be like, yeah, okay. Yeah, I'll do it. Sure, I get to do my show. I'll do it. But that doesn't mean you have to compromise. It just means that you get to do your show. People are afraid. I would definitely do it. John Fugelsang's doing a show for them.
Really?
Well, right now it's still current TV. But I think
they're going to keep his show,
I think. I'm not sure. That's a rumor.
Why not? Have some regular white people on there and make it seem like, no, it's just a news source.
Well, they're going to hire Americans to do news in America.
Yeah,
Fox News is owned by a guy from Australia and a freaking prince and an oil sheik from Saudi Arabia. So you tell me. I mean, what's the difference, right?
Yeah.
These guys are owned by Qatar or Cotter, however they...
I don't know. Qatar.
Cotter, isn't that where... Anyway, so it's another rich oil company.
Life Factory show.
Say again?
Wasn't that the guy who's host?
Dude, I went up at the... I don't even want to talk about it. I went up at the Laugh Factory last Saturday. I went up at like at 1:15 in the morning. Uh-huh. Have you ever done that spot?
Yeah.
Not fun. The guy in front of me didn't even try to get laughs getting off. He just reintroduced the MC. He's like, okay, I'm done. Where's Frazier? Frazier here? Come on, get him. I'm done.
I love that. I'm like, give it up for the MC, everybody. Like, I just need a way to get off.
So then I go up. And
they're all leaving at that point. It was, there's no new audience members.
It was unbelievable. It was I'm like, come on, you guys. I'm not only funny. I'm one of the funnier guys you're going to see.
Yeah.
You're telling me this is what's happening. They weren't talking. They were just, there was only like 25 people just staring at me.
They roll over the show from the end, so they've been there for 3 hours.
I'm like, you guys been here since probably 9 o'clock. Yeah. It's 1 in the morning.
Yeah, that's the problem.
You've heard every dick joke in the world.
You do crowd work at the Comedy Store at like 12 a.m. or after.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, so where are you from? And then someone else in the other corner of the
room
goes,
you.
Minneapolis!
Ah,
like, Jesus. Like, so many people.
It got so bad, I made fun of a guy's shirt. I go, look at that shirt. Now, just because it's gay looking doesn't mean I'm like, here I am making fun of a guy's shirt. That's how bad this has gotten.
All right. Thanks, Jimmy.
Okay, thanks for having me. It was a pleasure.
You're welcome. Revolution never comes with a warning. Revolution never sends you an omen. Revolution never comes with a warning. A revolution. Everyone addicted to the same nicotine. Everyone addicted to the same gasoline. Everyone addicted to a technicolor screen. Everybody trying to get their hands on the same green. From the banks of the river to the banks of the greedy. All of the rich is taken back by the needy. We come from the country and we come from the city. Boom! That was the episode, everybody. I hope you enjoyed it. Oh, by the way, make sure to use Amazon as my spot. I have Matt Edgar back here. Mm-hmm. He came back an hour later, an hour and 30 minutes after we started the podcast. He came back to do this wrap-up with me. I have an Amazon link. I'm going to get to your stealing stories, too. Because if you no longer steal, please use shop on Amazon. And then go to my website, arithegreat.com. That's where all my dates are, too. So you can see if I'm coming to your city, arithegreat, or arishafir.com, or arithegreat.com/something. I bookmark mine as Amazon. My page is Amazon. See how it says Amazon?
Mm-hmm.
If you click on that, it just takes you to Ari the Great. And then if you click on that Amazon link at the top right, well, the top is my special, which you should all buy for $5. Come on. Passive aggressive. But there's an Amazon link. If you click on that, it takes you to Amazon, and then do all your shopping. The one to the right is Amazon Canada. But do all your shopping, and then I get cash back. So that's a great way to support the podcast.
There you go.
Not really having to do anything different. As you're regularly Amazon shopping, go through my website.
While you're on Amazon.
Yeah. And while you're there, you can get 4 free tracks of my album. If you didn't know that, that's still available. 4 free tracks.
What
just
are the
click
tracks?
I think the Money Shot.
Classic.
Jew Beard is just a quick one. Intro.
Jew Beard.
It's just an intro. Shit, nothing.
That's the first song off the first album.
Off the album. Yeah, Revenge for the Holocaust. Jew Beard. Money Shot is a great one, though. That's like a long 10-minute long story.
That's the single.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one, actually. I forgot about that. I can't do that at all anymore.
Mm.
That was a good story.
See, look, that's why you should get it, because you'll never see Ari say this again.
Life, yeah. Anyway, that's all there. But let's talk about stealing.
Okay. What do you want, the boat or the boats are...
Let's talk about the boats.
Okay.
Where were you that you steal a boat? You grew up in Long Beach?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, me and my friends used to play this game called Fugitive.
Okay. Oh, right? Yeah, you told me about this. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's fucking awesome. I suggest literally everyone would have a fucking blast if they did this, even just once. It's one of those things that you do it, and then... You're not even after it's over, you just talk about it for the next couple hours. It's like one of those things.
Well, what is it?
Basically, it's long distance tag.
Yeah.
You have two teams, like, I don't know, you want a big crew. So, like, let's say you had like 20 people, right?
Yeah.
So you split them in half, and you have 10 people in the cars. They're driving around in the car, and then 10 people on foot. And the point is to get from one part of town to the other part of town without being caught
by the people in cars.
In cars.
So you're on foot.
And this is all at night. This is the middle of the night. So you could, like, you could be, you know, you could hide and be strategic and, like,
when you see a car coming. But it's
right.
Not so late at night.
We would start around midnight.
Oh, wow. So there's not many
cars.
There's
been times where we've ended the game and the sun's coming up.
And so if they see you in a car, they'll just drive
down
and catch
you. And
then
they can
run after
you.
You
get kind of fucked up. Like, they'll tackle you and take you. If you have the guy restrained,
You're done. Okay. But if you just touch him, it's not done.
No, it's not like tag. Like, you got to have the guy where, like, all right, you're
capture.
Not going anywhere.
Yeah.
You know? And there's no, and if you're the fugitive, you can't fight the guy. Like,
right.
You get caught.
You can shake.
You know what I mean? You can't not get caught. Yeah. So it's fun because you get to use, like, you know, some people try to charge it the whole way, and it's long distance. Like, we're talking miles. Like, we actually went from Main Street on Seal Beach to 2nd Street in Long Beach, which is about maybe 2 to 3 miles, right? Yeah. And now there's two bridges in between. There's actually three bridges in between Main Street and Seal and then 2nd Street, at the end of 2nd Street in Long Beach. So I knew right away that going, like, this is where most people are going to get caught, is crossing the bridge.
They just wait for them.
They could just wait there.
Yeah.
Now, they have enough cars, enough people that they're actually, like, patrolling and driving around. So we get pretty far. You know, we see the car. We hide every now and then. But when we got to the bridge, the plan was, you know, most guys had already...
It's like ye olde days where it's like, fuck, how do we cross the bridge with a troll there?
Exactly. So some people had, like, let's just charge it, you know? Like, we'll just run. But the thing is, it's like, even if you make it past the first big bridge, there's a second one.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's really just, like, it's about, you know, now you got to kind of use logic here and find a way around the bridge. And I watched everyone. I think at this point there was maybe 7 people on my team, and they had all charged. And I just watched them all get caught. Like, there's like enough people on the other side. This is the first bridge, and they all get caught immediately. So I go under the bridge, and I'm sitting down there, and I'm trying to figure out, like there's, if I go up there, I'm gonna get caught. They know I'm the only guy out here.
Yeah.
Like, now it's down to just finding
last
me.
The last man.
So it's like, this should be easy for them. I go under the bridge, and I find it's like this tugboat.
Mm-hmm.
Only it's not like there's no power to it. There's no like electricity. It's literally, it's just a
tugboat.
Yeah, it's actually like what you pull behind a tugboat.
Okay,
it's like this big square. It's like a square. It's like made to have like heavy shit on
put on it,
on it and tied down, and then the tugboat would
tug it,
right?
Okay, yeah.
But it's literally square, and it's just floating, right? And it's tied up, so you can go. So I'm like, well, the best shot I have is to take this across the bridge. No one would know that.
Underneath.
Like, no one could see me under the bridge.
Right.
So what I would have to do would be literally kick, like I would have to like kind of swim with it, like my legs would have to get wet.
Yeah.
So I took off my pants, my shoes, and my socks.
And kick paddled it.
I kicked
it as a paddle.
I kick paddled it to the other side of the bridge.
And then where did you do the boat? Left it there.
I left it there. I tied it
you
on
tie
the
it
other
up?
Side.
Okay.
Yeah, I tied it on the other side. So like, if hopefully they could find it. I was like 18 and not really give a fuck about anyone.
That's pretty
else.
Nice though, just to tie it up.
So you know, I go through, and then we get to the second bridge. This is the last bridge. Mind you, everyone's been caught. Everyone's been caught for about a half an hour. Everyone's getting over it.
Yeah.
You know? Now, where this bridge starts is actually like, this was like the first one wasn't residential. The first one was like, you know, people worked here. It's like kind of like part of the docks or something. The second bridge, like, is literally people's condos. And up to the next, like, both sides are condos, right?
Yeah.
And there's no boats, but there's kayaks.
Okay.
And I took some guy's kayak. It wasn't locked up. And I kayaked across the beach, or across the bridge, underneath the bridge. And I got a call from a buddy that was on my team. Like, yo, man, where are you? Like we're waiting. I'm like, dude, I got a boat. No fucking way. And then he drives up, and I could see him looking at me, you know, so like he sees me in the kayak, and I'm just going. Little did I know, he ran to the other team and told them where I was.
Why?
Because they wanted to end it.
Oh, what a rat.
So I dock on the beach, and I start walking, and then just a swarm of dudes. There's nothing I could do.
Like the others.
I walked right into it.
Oh, no.
So that guy never got his kayak. I mean, it's literally, unless he woke up and saw it on the other side of the beach.
Where's my... Oh, there. Fucking kids.
Yeah.
My friend Avi Lerner, he had a friend in college, and they would always they'd have a designated driver when they went in Michigan, when they went wherever.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, hey, you want to come with us? They go, nah, I'm going to keep drinking. So he'd find a way home. He said he would either make friends with somebody at the bar and say, what town are you from? The guy said, Seal Beach. Like, yeah, Seal Beach, man. I'm right from right by there. Or he's like, yeah, I've been there. Or I used to grow up there until fourth grade. Just make up some shit to get like in with somebody so they give him a ride. Or alternately, and this is most of the time, steal a bike.
when all else fails.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So they'd wake up in the morning and there'd just be a bike every other day on their front lawn. Like, whose was this? And Pat, I think that was his name. He'd be like, well, oh, yeah, it's a bike.
That is so funny.
He didn't want it later. He just took it home.
That is so funny.
Yeah.
That's definitely a way to get around. Like, yeah. You don't need to walk. There's always a... You're never too far from a bike you could just jack.
You're never too good to steal a bike.
Yeah, I mean...
like, so what was the golf carts?
The golf carts... So I went through this weird phase around that same age where I could not stop stealing golf carts. Yeah. I stole so many. I stole some from my high school. I stole some from Leisure World, the old... people's home.
Yeah.
Well, I would sneak in and...
What, just grab them and go?
Well, in Leisure World, what I would do, I would always park them, but me and my friends would take them and like and race around in the middle of the night with the golf carts. That wasn't that bad. I wouldn't call that stealing. I was like borrowing. Because okay. I found out that one key fits all for golf carts.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you don't need... It's not that hard to start a golf cart. Yeah. So, one night, me and my friends went to the Long Beach Arena.
Yeah,
I think we were in the neighborhood, like we were like leaving from somewhere, and we walked up by the Long Beach Arena, and we noticed the doors were open, and the cleaning crew was there cleaning.
Oh,
so we just like, let's just walk in here, like this. Why not explore?
I love
the
that
Long
when
Beach
you're
Arena?
Little, when you're kids, and you're like, I can go in.
Yeah,
and you're like, yeah, but nobody wants to go in. That's why the doors are unlocked.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, there's really
it's just an empty place.
It's just this empty arena. Yeah. But I don't know. It was fascinating.
Some
to
Mexicans
us.
With buffers.
There, I mean, we just knew the cleaning crew was there because it just. You know, you saw the slippery signs or whatever. Oh, yeah, you know, So we go in there and I'm just walking around and I see this fucking golf cart and I'm like, let's take this golf cart, let's take it out, see how far we could get it. And
how'd you get out? The doors were
well, you know, it's the hallway where the golf cart was so narrow, mm-hmm. that I had to back it out to get out that door that was open.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen Austin Powers?
Yeah,
the first
it
one
that.
It was just like that. We were cracking up the whole time because it was literally just like that. And we're like putting holes in the walls and like we're doing everything.
Do you remember that he ran over the guy in Austin Powers?
Yeah.
Do you know who that was?
Yeah, it was it Michael McDonald?
Nope.
Or Will Ferrell?
Nope. Think closer to us. Brian Callen.
That was Brian Callen.
I'm pretty positive.
Okay.
I may be wrong at this point, but
I think it was Michael McDonald.
It very well could have been.
Can we IMDb that?
Yep. So I pause. So keep going with your story.
So we get it out the door, and we start driving. It's me and two other guys, and we're just laughing our asses off driving down. And we're going down. We're going down along the beach because we couldn't drive it on the street. And there's like a sidewalk down by the beach, and it's right next to the Long Beach Arena. And we get down to this sidewalk, and now we're just kind of cruising on the beach, and then behind us, a cop SUV just pulls out, and then racing towards us on the sand, lights on us.
Oh, no.
We are so fucked.
Oh, but no.
At this point, it's still really far away. Like, we've gotten pretty far. So this cop is, you know, he'll catch up to us in the next 2 minutes. But we were like, who knows, man? Let's keep on riding this out as long as we can. And then it just got to the point where, like, yeah, we need a fucking bail on this. Jump off the golf cart and then ran into some bushes and just kind of sat there. Have you ever ran from the cops and...
Was that International Man of Mystery or Spy Who Shagged Me?
International Man of Mystery. I guarantee you it's Michael McDonald.
Yeah, because I don't think he was...
There's Will Ferrell. But I don't think that was that part.
Mustafa. No. He was the guy they put down in the hole, and he kept staying alive.
Yeah.
He was like, I'm still not dead. I'm just badly burned.
Yeah, let's see.
You should go from the bottom up.
No,
on
no.
This,
you know what you should do is just look up Michael McDonald, because you're going to get your answer.
Michael McDonald.
Yep.
Henchman, flattened by steamroller, uncredited. Man. Nice.
Michael McDonald is one
Matt
of the
TV.
Funniest fucking
He was the guy
people.
On Matt TV that was, yeah. He was the, UPS guy.
Oh.
The hyper UPS
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, yeah. He was Stewie or Stewart. He was a lot of great things. Michael McDonald's so funny.
Sherry O'Terry uncredited.
Oh, wow. What was she?
Flight attendant.
That must have been cool.
Priscilla Presley, cameo appearance uncredited. Rob Lowe uncredited.
You know, Jeff Garlin was in the second one.
Really? As
yeah.
What? Mike Judge uncredited.
Whoa. Carrie Fisher,
therapist, uncredited. What is it? Nobody get credit for this movie?
God damn. They
are they all just doing his
it.
Favors? Tom Arnold, uncredited. Jesus. Okay, finally they're getting credits, and now nobody's...
Oh, I thought that said Kanye West. Kanye West, like, whoa, Kanye was even in this? Everyone was in Austin Powers.
Jeez, that's a lot of people. Fuck. All right.
Whatever. Such a good movie.
So the fucking cops came and what?
So, like, you know when... Have you ever, like, ran from the cops?
No.
Okay.
Fucking Jew.
I love that. That's Jews don't run from the cops. That's why you guys got caught.
They went that way, officer. That's what we would do.
Thank you, Jew. No, like, sometimes, like, it's happened to me a couple times where I'd get so close to getting caught.
I met this cop in Austin. I was sitting on a big potted plant next to Morgan Murphy.
Mm-hmm.
And this cop comes up. It's two bike cops, a guy and a girl. They go, excuse me. And I was like, looked at them. And I was, my first thought was, no way you're going to harass me for sitting on this fucking potted plant.
Uh-huh.
It's like a ledge.
Yeah.
It's like, it's supposed to be sat on.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah. And then my second thought was, what drugs? What have I got? Like, yeah, what have I been
inventory.
Doing? I looked at my hands. I'm not smoking anything.
Right,
am
right.
I okay? The girl was a fan. Chick Cock was a fan.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
I've
she
heard
was
of that
too.
Happening. That happens to comedians.
She was like, can I take a picture? I was like, absolutely.
That is awesome.
You know
to me,
said?
That's like a level of making it right
yeah.
there.
And a cute cop.
Ooh.
She was cute. She was probably like 28, 29.
You should try to hit on her.
I know, but what am I going to do? She's on duty with her fucking partner.
That would have been the ultimate. That would have been the ultimate sex story.
Yeah.
I fucked the cop that pulled me over.
She
That's
goes,
how I got out
She
of
goes,
it.
Don't worry, I'm not going to search you for weed. And I was like, I appreciate that.
But I am going to ask you for some.
And then we went to take a picture, put my hands around the both of them,
yeah.
the boy and the girl. And she goes, just if you're wondering, absolutely do not touch my gun.
Like, just if I were wondering.
Like, yeah. I was like, I've already heard
Joey
Diaz.
Should I touch this gun?
But just thought it was a prank. Like, hey, let me get it. Then we'd have to be like, we got to go serious now. You can't touch
that
cop's gun, even as a joke.
I love when cops break.
Yeah. So you run from the cops.
Yeah. You know how, okay, so this has happened to me a couple times where you're like, you get away from the cop, okay, but you're still very close to where you're watching the cop investigate the crime scene. Like, basically looking for you. And you're literally in a bush just watching. And like, and at one point, I swear to God, I was like in bushes. Like me and my friends were in different parts of this, like, there's like
bushy
these, this, like, it was like this planter. It was like, it was just this weird, like, we were able to kind of just jump in. We didn't have time to run or get away. We just dove into this bush. At one point, the flashlight comes right on me. And I know I just got caught.
Oh.
I even start like starting to get up, like, okay, you know, and then the flashlight comes off of me, and he just didn't see me.
Wow.
He literally didn't see me, and I was like, I had accepted my fate in that second.
Wow.
And he kept going, and then we sit there.
You're
and
about to stand up, like, all right.
Yeah, I was done. I was like, you got me.
Good thing you didn't. That's more proof for the lie and deny theory.
Exactly.
Never give up until they have you.
They have to have you.
Never
I mean, I would have. I was on my way up, Ari.
Wow.
And we sat there and watched. So then they stopped looking. They figured we were gone, but they had to sit there and wait for a tow truck.
Oh,
so we sat
back.
There. I sat there and watched the golf cart get towed away.
And would you be like, no, we need to take that back? Because we parked out
that's
there.
Mine. Just,
I stole
you're
it.
Napping in this bush.
Oh, that's cool.
And, yeah, I mean, like I said, I'd taken them from my high school.
Joey Diaz, you know what he used to do at airports? Steal, like, Tic Tacs.
Tic Tacs.
Things like that from the airport kiosks.
Yeah.
I was like, why are you stealing that? It's like $1.25. He goes, want to stay in practice?
Yes.
Stay in shape.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Gotta make sure you're
little,
sharp,
little
man.
Little thing. So when it comes to, when push comes to shove, I have my skills.
For like you need to stay sharp for the apocalypse, man.
Yeah.
You need to be good at this shit.
Yeah, exactly.
What are you gonna do, Jew?
For the apocalypse?
Yeah.
Oh, I already know.
Just gonna try to use regular money?
No. Here's what I'll do. I'll be one of the 95% of the people who die instantly. I don't know why. All
right,
all
right. You outweigh,
so self-absorbed.
You weigh your odds.
Yeah.
I really don't have any chance of survival.
I live in a big city. I'm out instantly.
Like, what are you going to do? Like,
on a farm, you got a chance.
What are you going to kill yourself or just like?
No,
like,
they'll kill
all
me.
Right, let's do this doomsday scenario.
Yeah.
There is
zombies or just lack of society.
I like Asteroid, to be honest with you. Zombies is hacky to me.
Zombies hacky. And
I mean,
also,
I guess Asteroid's hacky,
since this
too.
Is a podcast about this lefty kind of stuff.
Oh.
And liberties, where
yes.
it's like, the apocalypse could happen with the downfall of our government.
Okay.
Of a government, anyway.
Yeah.
It could
you
be like
go
an
there?
Apocalypse. Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, as currency becomes problematic and less trusted.
Yeah, I like the idea of China just turning, just like being like, why the fuck are we even, why have we not taken out this part? You know what, actually, sometimes I think about, like, what if all the countries got in cahoots together, like, yo, let's just, you know, America's been on top for a while.
They've been bugging everybody.
Yeah, like, why don't we just, you know,
in
just
this
cut them
problem.
Off. Yeah.
It's like in a Royal Rumble when everybody teams up against fucking...
Big Show.
Yeah, Big Show. We got to get him out or we have no chance. So you get four guys to team up against him and then we can double cross each other.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
But at least we have a chance.
Yeah. And then he goes out and then it's every man back for himself.
Yeah, yeah, they should do that in other countries.
They should. I hope I'm not giving any ideas.
Yeah, that's what they did in one of the wars against Israel. All the Arab countries teamed up and they all invaded from different sides at once.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That is maniacal.
They're like, look, we don't agree on much, but we hate you. We all hate you.
So you think, like, okay, so you're saying not, okay, so there's no big explosion. There's no asteroid or zombies. It's literally government is, or we've been cut off.
It could be like a thing like that. An asteroid will destroy enough stuff.
Okay.
But it will, lack of society is what really gets it.
Right. Did the asteroid do that?
Could be, yeah. Or like in The Road, the book The Road, the movie too. But I read the book. It's one of the few books I've ever read since college. There's just ash in the air. And like, if you can find an apple tree, great. But all the apple trees have been found. It's been a couple years.
Yeah. Yes.
It was family. They saved three bullets. They had a gun. They wanted to save three bullets.
They only had three bullets.
No. They weren't going to go below three.
Oh, they weren't going below three. Great.
Because they needed it for themselves.
Yes. Ooh.
Because that little boy... They were with a little boy, and those always got raped.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, girls, it was like done. So it's like, we're just going to rape everything.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they would eat, they were cannibals, they would eat other people, and it was like every man for themselves. It was like a real, real version of what would happen in the apocalypse.
Wow. So let's take that scenario. Uh-huh. Where would you be?
I mean, let's assume I'm right here when it happens.
Okay, where does it go down, by the way?
Apocalypse?
Yeah, where, I mean... Over. It's just all over.
All over. So wherever you
How far
you are.
Deep into the apocalypse are we?
All right. So let's say assume I got by the first month.
Yeah.
Or month in now.
Yeah.
People are starting to turn on each other.
Right.
Where do I go? I think I hole up here until they fucking bust my shit down. Lock the door, obviously.
Yeah.
But they can get in through certain ways. They can get in. I would have to go to like abandoned place.
What do you think that would do for pot sales?
Drop a lot.
A lot.
You would just steal pot.
Yeah. I think that's when you start losing your shit, actually.
When I have no pot left.
After you smoked all your pot.
Yeah.
And the moldy one. Even the, you save the moldy for last.
Yeah.
And you're not getting any more. I see you coming out with a
speaking of,
with a white flag.
Half this bowl. You want to try some of this Frosty Delish? Or you can't yet.
Frosty Delish?
Yeah. It was the first great strain of weed that I got into. Oh, here it is.
There's no mold, is there?
There might be, but I don't think so. It's over 4 years old.
Oh.
Easily over 4 years old. I think over 5 years old. And it was so good that I was like, I you know how I hoard.
Yeah.
That I just couldn't get rid of it. I wanted to save it.
You know what I couldn't believe, by the way, to bring it back to your hoarding?
Yeah.
You know when I left my toothbrush here the other night?
Yeah.
And I told you that I texted you, like, yo, I'm going to come over and grab my toothbrush.
Yeah.
You were leaving.
Yeah.
You, not only did you put my, you grabbed my toothbrush, put it on the table so it was easy for me.
Okay.
Okay, you found every little thing that I left here. This is like way inside the mind of a hoarder. Like, it looks like such a mess. Like, your place looks like a fucking mess to me and anyone else that would walk in here. But to you, you put all the stuff here.
I found all your little things.
You were able to find them. I didn't even know about
these
that.
These don't belong.
Yeah, you just could come in and see, like, oh, those headphones.
Here, so it's not like nothing was moved. There were things that are moved around a little.
Wow.
I've been here for 10 days, 12 days.
I honestly did my best to clean up, even though you found my nachos that I never had.
On that chair. Three nachos. Not the round ones.
What were they?
They were round. Not nachos, but like nacho chips.
They're chips?
Yeah,
there's round chips. Three full chips.
It was two full ones and a half one. Do you think I'm lying?
No, that's very specific.
Did you not have those things? They're about this size. They're about that big.
Mm-hmm.
Flat corn tortilla chips, something like that.
Ari, if I didn't love you that much, I'd lie to you right now. But yes, I had chips.
Oh, okay.
I don't know how they got over there.
Yeah.
But that is funny that you actually have the amount of chips, two and a half chips. You found.
Uh-huh.
In the midst of all of this clutter, you could walk in and be like, "What? Hold on.
Wait a minute. Something's up.
What is?" And then you even had to look past.
I'm like the Black Riders from Lord of the Rings.
I have never seen that.
Okay. Yeah, I looked past the other clutter on that couch to find the three chips.
Wow.
Also, you broke the vaporizer.
I told you that.
You told me that. That's fine.
I cleaned the water. I guess I didn't.
No, you
get
didn't.
It all.
You didn't clean the vaporizer or the water. It was just a broken vaporizer right there with water all over the fucking electrical things.
I wiped it down.
Well, maybe some new water came in right around the broken vaporizer.
That's what I think happened,
Someone
actually.
Someone broke in and put water around the broken vaporizer water.
That's the only thing that makes sense to me.
That is the only thing that makes sense.
That's the only way that could have happened.
Because there's no way. You just spilled it.
I left, and someone came in here, poured water on your electric things, and left 2.5 chips right there on the couch. And eggshells in the... The eggshell thing really threw me off.
Yeah.
I had nothing to do with eggshells.
Really?
Okay. All right.
Because there's however many eggs left in the fridge that you bought. I mean, someone bought while it was
gone. Someone must have bought eggs.
Ate came some of in, them. Put some of them in the garbage.
Shells on the,
and some of them on the counter.
And, yeah.
This place is a very delicate ecosystem. And this is a clutter thing. But I know that when it gets out of hand is when you start leaving pizza boxes and cheese and food stuffs out. So I don't leave food stuff out. Because that's what attracts the bugs and the mice. That makes turns the clutter into a problem. Into dirt.
Sorry, Ari.
No, it's all right. But it's like I'll be out of here soon.
I'm sorry some guy broke in here and
It'll be your place soon, but I don't... yeah. Sorry, some guy broke in.
That's,
all right.
That's shady. Maybe I didn't lock the door.
Well, anyway, I stole you $15 from the work today. It was 45 minutes.
You don't owe me that much for that.
It was 45 minutes. I looked when you got here. It was a quarter to. We finished at 2:30. Well, I don't have enough in my wallet, but... Oh, here's 20.
We'll work it out. Thank you, buddy.
You're welcome. So that's it.
You know what? Thank you.
It was a long intro and outro without a lot of advertisements.
Yeah. How's that going to work? Like,
just put it in and out.
In and out.
The Jimmy Dore episode, and the 20 minutes before and
Featuring
10 minutes after.
Matt at special guest.
Yeah, I'll
guest.
Put you in the credits.
Yes.
But it ain't your episode.
Oh, come on.
It ain't your episode.
No, I appreciate that.
I don't mind having people. I don't mind having people. You owe me $5 back. I don't mind having people. Guest on the intros, but the episode's about the interview.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like how we were just hanging and then you whipped out this thing.
I was like, let's just do an intro right now.
Let's just do this right now.
I'm doing this on a Thursday.
It's the same way the last one we did when we were driving. You're like, you want to do a podcast?
Pull it out.
That's what makes Skeptic Tank so cool is how raw it really is.
Yeah.
Like, it really is that, like, what do you want to talk about? And it's always interesting.
Yeah.
All your episodes are interesting. Like, you go to cool places.
Yeah.
That Cap one is exciting.
Yeah, we were supposed to talk about The Simpsons.
Yeah.
You gave me that idea.
I think that is going to be your biggest podcast, by
you
the way.
You told me, like, you should have a podcast where you just talk about The Simpsons with a real fan. I was like, oh. I looked at you, I was like, that's not about it. Because people suggest stuff to me. Don't suggest yourself. Suggest topics.
Which I didn't.
Like you did. You was like, get... And I was like, I instantly know who to call for this. Oh, it's Rogan. I got to talk to him anyway. But I instantly knew... And I texted him, I was like, hey, you want to... Because I wanted him for something else. And he was like, yeah, we can do that. Come over tonight.
I just think it'd be cool. Do you have to answer that?
Yeah. Like, hey, can I call you back in like a minute and a half? Okay, cool.
Now you got to put Joe Rogan on the credits.
Yeah. Yes. Guess what, bitch? You're in.
Now we're going to get so many new followers because of that. Yeah. Thank you, Joe.
Yeah.
No, I just think it'd be a really good idea if you... And it doesn't even have to be at a place. Or I mean, it could any way you want to do it.
Yeah.
But you go around and you ask some of your favorite comedians or your
oh yeah,
your
that
friends.
Would be the intro and the outro of it.
Yeah, like what's your favorite Simpsons moment?
Yeah.
And then they'll tell and you'll get some great shit.
Maybe
dude.
I'll do that tonight while I'm down there.
I think it's as easy as you taking this with you.
Yeah.
This little recorder and then going up to people and seeing like yo, what's your favorite? And
yeah, that'll be the intro of the Cap episode where I talk about The Simpsons.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's a standalone episode.
Oh, just that.
I think you could literally make an episode of you, and it's just different cuts. It's completely different than anything you've done, but it's like, it's a cool novelty episode.
I thought that would be the intro of it, but you're saying that's the whole episode.
I think it should be the whole episode. I think you'll have enough content to fill up a whole episode. Because you're going to start talking to guys, and they're going to really get passionate.
Yeah.
And
something everybody gets into.
Everyone gets into The Simpsons, and everyone has their favorite moments, and I think the fans would fucking dig that.
So influential in comedy.
It's so important.
For a while when we all said like, oh, who steals or who are you influenced by, things like that, everyone's like, oh, Ari's just influenced by The Simpsons. You can see it in the way he acts and the stuff he does on stage. For those first 5 years, I was just trying to be The Simpsons.
Just doing don't.
Well, not like that. Not selling the words.
A joke wouldn't
like,
work.
The things, the stuff I got from them, it was just like, I can use this in my material and like building material,
yeah,
the way they form jokes.
It's such a, it's so important to comedy and where comedy is now.
Yeah.
And since the show's, there's so many comedians on it and it's a comedian that hosts it, I just think it's totally appropriate.
All right.
Whole episode.
Yeah. That's what I'll do. I'll bring this in tonight. I'll change the batteries. I'll bring this in tonight.
Fuck yeah.
Also, you put in fucking regular batteries into a battery charger.
Yeah, I didn't know that was a thing.
It just spills out.
Actually,
you know
that also wasn't me. Some guy had to come in here and charge his batteries. Oh, and
some thief, and then forgot.
Yeah, yeah. In the midst of leaving chips and water everywhere.
Yeah.
I might as well charge these batteries.
What song should we go out to? What's a really cool new song? Or how about that Bright Eyes song?
Which Bright Eyes
from
song?
From Casadega. The one about the apocalypse, because we just talked about that.
Ooh.
Right? Isn't that whole album about the apocalypse?
Yeah, there's a lot of that in there. I'm trying to think of the one. I'll help you pick it, though. Yeah.
Okay, so Bright Eyes.
I'll so a Bright Eyes song.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen.
We did it.
This is Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank for Matt Edgar. Mm-hmm. I am Ari Shaffir. Episode 113. Lefty Liberty.
Lefty Liberty.
With Jimmy Dore. Matt, you have a Twitter address?
At Matt Edgar. Matt has one T in it.
MatEdgar.
Hell yeah.
All right, man. Thanks. By the time this airs, no, I'll still be in LA. Two more days. All right, cool. We'll talk to you later.
Refugee retracing my steps all the way to Casadega to commune with the dead. They said you'd better look alive. And now I'm soft to old Dakota where a genocide sleeps in